Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Can you take us out on the field?
Go, go, man. Come on, Rudy. Come on.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team, you don't get the fact you just got 1 year of top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you 5 times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
PFW in Progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house. Pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get them.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Oh, my God. I that was something I've never seen before in my life. I just couldn't believe it. And, of course, I'm talking about the size of Paul's cutlet that he's eating right now. No. I'm talking about 59 to nothing.
Patriots got hosed.
Should have been 61.
Officials took the game into their own hands late.
Well,
that was a safety. There was no way that wasn't a safety.
Of course it was. But, hey, who cares?
They've never scored 60.
Although,
and they legitimately scored
60. Were you expecting Bill to throw the red flag out?
A little bit.
They
joked with him a little bit on EEI yesterday.
I would have been okay with it. He got hosed. You can't change the rules of the game and make that. You can't make them up as you go along.
He said that he kind of took the question a little more seriously than I thought he would. He said no. He never... You know, never gave any thought to throwing the red flag. But actually, in looking at it, I think they got it right. He was hit at the 2-yard line and sort of knocked back.
But he was still on his feet.
He didn't have the ball.
He didn't have the ball.
He was still trying to run. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, you remember the play with Cordell Stewart on the goal line in that playoff game, Fred, when he tried a quarterback sneak on 4th down. He went over the top and hit a guy before the goal line. He got knocked back to the 4. And then started running again, and he got tackled back there. But they put the ball at the one, you know, inside
right,
the one.
Right,
because that's where his forward progress was. But, like I said, I thought Bill took the question a little more seriously than I thought he would have.
As he is wont to do.
With a no.
All right. PFW in Progress. The email address is webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. We're excited about a lot of things, about 59 to nothing. I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen a team lay down.
Terrible.
Like that in my life.
That was embarrassing.
Like a sorority sister on spring break, Paul.
But hey, Patriots they executed, which is something they haven't been able to do
up until now.
What? Who was that?
It wasn't any of us.
Up until this point, they haven't been able to do that, and it's good to see, even with a team that, you know, was playing as poorly as Titans, to just be able to connect on those plays that are there.
Poorly?
59 poorly. Nothing.
That's being disrespectful to the word poorly. I mean, you're right. A team has never, ever laid down
I've never seen anything like it.
At any level.
The Cardinals were far better. In college and high school.
On both sides of the ball. When they had offense, they couldn't hold on to it or catch it or throw it or run it. Well, actually, I should say Chris Johnson.
He tried.
He tried.
He had over 100 yards.
He had a couple big plays.
And but on defense, they couldn't tackle. It was absolutely ridiculous. But, hey, that's what you do to a team that plays like that. You beat them 59 to nothing.
I think your point, your earlier point's better. They've had wide open receivers at points this year. They missed them. They didn't miss any of them this week, whether it was Moss a couple different times. You know, I joked on the one he caught in the back of the end zone, he was wide open 3 separate points on the play, like a third of the way into it when he broke, and then coming across the back of the end zone, Paul's favorite player, safety Michael Griffith, was just nowhere to be found on that play. Looking for safety help when he's the safety. Is that how you posed it, Paul?
He's
but they hit him.
Eating his cutlet.
That's a lot of cutlet.
At least I'm not burping all over the
place. I was
going
to say, how is that?
Who did that?
He's being polite and eating off air. You eat, burp, do everything on air.
I'm busy. I don't have time to.
Do you think the snow was why they hit the plays? Maybe Brady's been pressing, thinking, touching, and all of a sudden in the snow, he's just going to let it go and hope and his you know instincts took over and completed them all.
I think the snow was definitely why these guys were wide open.
See, I don't necessarily.
Well, they had two rookie corners started.
I think they just sucked.
I just
I think they were disinterested. You gave Paul credit.
They gave
your edit
up.
Letter.
They gave up.
Paul was right. They were looking for an excuse to give up, and 2 minutes in, they gave up.
Yep, they got down a little
bit. I don't even think
the weather was
bad
for them.
And by the way, no forecast.
Well, the weathermen blew it just as bad as those corners.
No forecast said, there's a chance of snow if it gets down to certain temperature. It was always low 40s.
A lot of rain.
A lot of rain, wind gusts up to 40 miles an hour because it was a nor'easter. No one mentioned snow. The word snow was not mentioned.
That made the game so much better, though. For
us. It was great. You know, I think, you know.
It was great when you yelled at one point, it's a freaking blizzard out there.
It was.
Yeah. It was.
It was gross. And you guys are right. They talked about a nor'easter coming in, but not snow.
And they usually, if they have a hint of snow, they tell you a chance if this, and this happens, we could get a little snow. Not only did they not mention it, it wasn't a little snow.
You know what's funny?
You? No.
I was actually talking to Dan and Brian pregame, and I go, you know, it's supposed to be cold out. You think I should put the fireplace up on the video board for pregame? And we kind of look at each other and go, nah, you know what? We'll save it for a December game when there's some snow. This is just rain. Should have put the fireplace up.
Well, you had it up on the side things.
Had it up there, but I didn't have it on the video board.
Ah, well. But what? The whole thing about them quitting, and that's an ugly word to throw around. You know, when you question whether or not another team is trying or whatnot, but there was no effort there. And everybody brought up Arizona, and I agree. Arizona was very similar, but Arizona at least came out and tried. I don't think Tennessee even gave us an effort right from the opening kickoff.
It was remarkable.
They went 3-and-out. They punted the ball. Edelman almost returned it, and they were all of a sudden inside the 20. And, you know, from that point on, 9 consecutive scoring drives they allowed.
Yeah. And, you know, normally you would say, you know, there's no way something like that's going to happen 2 weeks in a row. But I think the potential exists for something, maybe not 59-0, but I think we could see another ugly game this week.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
The difference is there's young players involved, like Josh Johnson. I don't see him he's fighting for his career every time he takes the field.
And that's the point when you guys said that I thought that Tennessee might mail it in. That's what I kept holding on to, and I think it's different for a team that thinks they're going to be something and winds up not being anything. Everybody thought that the Titans were going to be an AFC, and I'm not making fun of anybody. I thought they were, too. Coming into this, and then I saw nothing on opening night against Pittsburgh. I thought they played a real hard game at Pittsburgh, that overtime game.
If they probably should have won that game.
If they didn't have all the problems with the kicking, you know, maybe they win. But they thought they were going to be a Super Bowl contender in the AFC. They're 0-6. Turn out the lights. There's too many veterans there that thought they were going somewhere. They know it's just not their year. You watch how many guys end up on IR before the end of the year.
Yeah.
How many veteran guys in Tennessee will end up on IR? I'll guarantee it.
You mean like without an injury?
Well,
like
with
just
like
kind of
yeah, just a questionable kind of thing that hamstring. normally you'd fight through if they were 6-0 instead of 0-6, you wouldn't see the same injury. Landing
right.
You on IR.
You got stuff.
Oh, my God.
Andy's right.
Broken.
With Tampa Bay.
No, your pockets.
There's too many young guys. There's 27 new players. Over half the starters, you know, I was doing some research in the game for the preview. Over half the starters from last December are gone. These guys have done nothing in the NFL. They might be 0-16, but they're going to fight, and they're going to keep trying. They're a bad team, and I think the Patriots could blow them out. But if it's as easy, you know, whether it's score-wise or not.
Right.
But if it's as easy, I'd be surprised. No. I think Tennessee will play hard.
Because a lot of defense is effort. I mean, if you try hard, you know, you're going to come up with some stops, you know.
They had nothing.
You're not going to allow a team to score 59 points.
And it wasn't just the – I mean, the Patriots averaged, Maroney had 9-7 a carry, Falk 7, even the runs were big chunks.
Yeah.
You know, Maroney had a couple runs where he'd hit the pile and the pile would just move, like kind of just give way for 7 yards.
Right.
We know he doesn't usually do that, so there wasn't as much resistance as he normally hits there. But we talked about it last week. I mean, Jeff Fisher's got to go.
Well, Bud Adams.
Great coach, too long.
You know, rarely does a owner speak out after a game, unless you're Jerry Jones. But Bud Adams said that it was the worst day of his 50 years as an owner, and that he wants to see Vince Young quarterbacking, and that he's going to look at Jeff Fisher at the end of the year, basically.
And that's what
he said.
And yeah. I think it's almost – it's terrible for them, but in some ways it's perfect because – he's the VP of whatever, Jeff Fisher. It's his show. You know, Floyd Reese was gone. They have another guy, but it's Jeff Fisher's show. You get rid of him. In all likelihood, you have two starting quarterbacks who aren't part of the future for your team. So you can just blow it up, you know, take Sam Bradford or whoever, a new coach, a new GM, a new franchise quarterback, and try to do the Atlanta thing where you kind of turn it around quick. Because they still have talent. I mean, Chris Johnson can play. Keith Bullock's not that old. Cortland Finnegan is considered one of the – they have some talent, so you get a quarterback, a new coach, a new drive, and maybe –
hey, they can hire Shane Waldron as their head coach.
Who's that a shot at?
No, I'm just saying other teams taking –
is that a shot
guys.
At Josh McDaniels for having the best start in the history of the NFL for a first-time head coach?
If there's
not
is
a
that
shot
a shot at Pat
McDaniels.
Bowlen for seeing the genius, the Mick genius that is Josh McDaniels?
Yeah, that's another thing I want to talk about.
What?
Denver Broncos.
You weren't happy with last night's game?
No. I really thought San Diego.
Fred's really mad.
I really thought San Diego would, you know, play like this is a must-win game, which is what it was for them. You know, the turnovers, the breakdowns of special teams.
Well, they're like the Titans. I mean, they're falling apart. Yeah. You got your GM questioning them. You got a
North,
coach who's
North
clearly not going to be the difference for the positive.
Right.
They're falling apart.
Tomlinson
is done.
The first series where they got stopped near the goal line and they took Tomlinson out on third down and put in Sproles and they stopped Sproles. Tomlinson immediately fires down the sideline like, I'm upset. I can't believe they didn't have me in the game. This is like first quarter.
You know
he's already up.
San Diego is a lesser version of the mid-90s Cowboys right now. Substitute Jimmy Johnson for Marty Schottenheimer. Marty Schottenheimer for Jimmy Johnson, actually. This is a lesser version. Mm-hmm. They didn't win the three Super Bowls that Dallas won, but they had a great team with great talent, with a good coach. Because Marty's a choker. I'm not denying that, but he's still a good coach. Good regular season coach. They took the coach away, and they've done nothing but deteriorate slowly, just like the 90s Cowboys did to the point where they were a laughingstock.
But still had talent.
Yes.
You know? And you know what the difference is, too?
Dave Campo. This is Dave Campo going right now. And by the way, where did North Turner come from? He was one of those
Dallas.
Disciples in
Emmett
Dallas.
Smith, they went too far with. But, you know, A.J. Smith wants to point everybody. He made a bad decision letting Michael Turner go and keeping LaDainian Tomlinson and signing. He needs to see that. He needs to see the wear and tear, and he needs to be ahead of that curve. Do you think Bill Belichick would have fallen into that trap of LaDainian Tomlinson's our franchise back, we got to keep him? And you find, because the writing was already there. It wasn't like he was coming off 6,000 yards in a 2-year span and you really had to. And Michael Turner goes out and has, what, 1,700 yards in Atlanta immediately?
Yeah.
He should have seen that, and that's his job
to
plan for
those. I totally agree with you, Andy. I think you're right on. And I think.
And now he's like throwing everybody else under the bus. Well, it's you.
Bill really lives by that quote that he always tells us, and it's not his own quote. I mean, everybody says
it. It's like me with Kevin Falk.
The whole year too early, year too late thing. You know,
I
it's better
to
get rid of a guy a year too early. Bill really follows that, and he'll take a bullet or two for a Ty Law. You know, there's a guy that, you know, he had 10 picks the year that they let him go. Yeah. He probably could have been a productive player for the Patriots that year in 2005, I guess it was.
Right.
But he doesn't.
But
he
you
doesn't
can't
look
just
at it
you can't
way.
Just sign him for 1 year. He wanted more. You know. So
you know, I'm not saying that it would have, but maybe had he signed Ty Law, it might have prevented him from. You know, keeping a guy, another secondary guy, Samuel or Randall Gay or something like that in the immediate. Maybe it wouldn't have, but you never know.
Same this year with Vrabel. He didn't want to pay him that bonus. He probably could have squeezed another season out of him as a contributor, but it was time. It was time to move on.
And they're looking right now. We got to get in. We have so many layers to get into today, you know, with the Adalys Thomas situation.
Yeah, we got a lot of rumors we have to address, but I do want to say I was happy to see the Jets lose their third game in a row.
Of course,
sure. Helped the Patriots in the standings. They're first place.
Although I feel bad for Sanchez. I have nothing against the guy, but all the picks he's throwing.
you know.
But that's the thing. I think before
you don't
the
feel
season,
bad for Rex Ryan, though.
Oh, hell no.
Before the
hell
season no. started, everybody, I think, kind of thought, at least on this show, that the Jets were a pretty good team, but they have a rookie quarterback, so that's probably going to hold them back. Then all of a sudden, the quarterback wasn't holding them back. He wasn't really winning games for them, but he wasn't holding them back, and they were 3-0, and I think we all forgot that, hey, he's a rookie quarterback.
Right.
He's probably going to cost him games. Well, he directly cost him two games in the last 3 weeks.
He threw five interceptions.
But he handed a game away to New Orleans, and he handed a game away to Buffalo. The defense that everybody makes fun of Rex Ryan about has still played. They have had one bad game against Miami.
Right.
Trouble is now they lost Chris Jenkins, and that's a big part of that run defense.
But he played – I mean, that defense is the only defense that slowed down New Orleans
so
far.
Defense.
Yeah. It's the only defense that's even slowed New Orleans.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about these
The Brinks truck bust?
Well, Dalis Thomas
the Brinks
was,
truck bust,
was inactive on Sunday. And according to Bill Belichick –
it's a healthy scratch.
It was a healthy scratch.
We went with the players we thought would have bigger roles in the game.
Which, you know – you can't.
One of which was cut 30 hours later.
28 to 30 million is what they gave him. He is the highest paid player now on that defense, correct?
I would assume so.
I mean, Will Fork's still on his rookie contract. Warren
signed
gone.
A deal, but not,
but it's
not
it
wasn't
that
big.
Yeah,
right?
He's the highest paid player on that defense.
You know, now that Seymour's gone, he's the highest paid player on the defense. And he's inactive on game day? Unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
What was that?
Yeah, it's a strange situation to me because I understand, and no one has been more critical, I don't think, than we have.
We had the it's got to be at least a year ago where we had an entire show basically arguing about how much of a disappointment he's been and no wow plays and how he's supposed to be good at everything and yet has done nothing well and all that. I mean, we were at least a year ahead of this curve.
But we always said, you know, we could – maybe we just don't know what he's supposed to be doing. And
well, now we do.
But
he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Like we said a couple weeks ago, you don't have your highest paid – defensive player redirecting receivers.
Or on the sideline on what Richard Seymour referred to as the money down.
Down. Right.
You don't have your money players on the sideline on the money down.
Right. So there's something.
So the bottom line is this. We've seen enough of sampling. Everything that he did well, his versatility, which was much heralded when he came here, it's clear when you do everything well and play next to Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, who do things great, they're funneling plays to you. You have the opportunity, because you're 80% the player they are, to make plays. But then when you're out on your own and you're the main guy, he's not good enough at any one thing to be great.
Right.
So he's clearly a great role player, but not great in the role he's in for this team.
What you just said is exactly why he was inactive on Sunday. He's not good enough at any one thing.
Well,
and the guys
he was inactive on Sunday as a message. Because
He's
as good as Rob Ninkovich playing four plays and playing special teams.
This is what I can't get past.
Now, he weighs 300 pounds and he can cover kicks. He could be on special teams. He could be Rob Ninkovich.
I'm with Andy on this one.
This was
the part
a message.
Of it that I don't understand because, like I said, PFW has been as critical of AD as anybody. And it's expectations. It's not that the guy can't play, but you gave him all that money and we're not seeing all the big plays, the impact plays. I called him in 2007, the Randy Moss of the defense. They brought in this big playmaker on offense.
Wow.
Dalis Thomas is going to be that on defense. Well, he's been nothing even close to that.
Sort of the Joey Galloway of the defense.
I can't imagine,
by the way, was cut,
that he's not more valuable than Pierre Woods, Derek Burgess, Rob Ninkovich.
Burgess!
I can't imagine.
Brett Lockett?
The only thing... I'm talking about guys directly playing
his
position.
I know.
And Andy's right. If it's a special teams thing, don't tell me that he can't play special teams.
He's big and fast. What else do you want?
You know, so there clearly is something going on there in terms of whether it's a message, like Andy said, or, he's not, you know, falling in line with the game plans. He's barking about his role or whatever.
But we saw all summer.
I don't know what it is, but there's something going
on. Joking with Bill, talking with Bill. Even when he wasn't in there, he was at Bill's side. They were pointing at the defense doing other things. I really thought he had become the Vrabel, the guy who could straddle the line between player, coach, joke with Bill, whatever. And
maybe it's gone too far.
And we always joke about...
Maybe he made a joke Bill didn't like.
AD is one of those guys that he's a really good guy. We all like AD. But he's kind of scary because he's real intimidating. I mean, he's huge. I mean, he's like 275 pounds. He's this big, enormous guy. You always have that fear in the back of your mind that, you know, he could squash you at any minute. Never is that going to be any more evident now. I'm not going up to him and say, hey, AD,
how
come you're not playing?
But you know somebody who will.
Yes.
Ma, I'm in the locker room.
Mom, I'm on a conference call. Do not pick up. Use your cell phone.
Oh God.
All right, but we really, also really strange situation.
Patriot, what's it called? What's Patriots? The tweet.
Real Patriots.
Real Patriots tweeted that Joey Galloway and Michael Matthews have been released. Did they trade for Matthews?
Yes.
Another trade gone awry.
Did they? Was that it?
I think it was a trade.
It was a trade.
They
That's
traded
right.
Thomas too, and Matthews they acquired.
No, both trades.
That's amazing. So, Bill, when next time you want to trade, don't. Although we should talk about this could be laying the foundation for some sort of trade today.
Well, last night, Tully Bantakane was released, and people think it's temporary.
Why?
What?
Paul and I were talking about this. Why do they think it's temporary? Like, what do you gain?
I'm not saying it's not.
He's a vested veteran. His salary has already been guaranteed.
I'm not saying it's not temporary.
It's only $600,000.
I just think it's been poorly reported. And this is my if it's a procedural thing,
explain to us what the procedure is.
Well, we don't know what the subsequent moves are going to be.
No, but everybody is writing
you
what you just
said.
You
know he's coming back.
Well, they might have had to say, you know, who knows? I mean, you're right.
The people who write it should know if they know.
I'm not attacking you. I'm saying if you know
who
that
are you
he's
attacking?
Coming.
You want to name names?
The people that reported
Who's that?
I believe Ian Rappaport in the Herald
That's
did.
The name.
I think Mike Reese did.
On ESPN Boston.
And they're all writing the same thing, that he got released and he's expected back, and it's a procedural thing.
But, Fred, Pro Football Talk is reporting midday today, Cleveland Browns have expressed interest in Bantakane. Eric Mangini would like to bring him to Cleveland. So maybe a not so fast with your little put him on the open market for a day and bring him back.
And I'm not denying, I'm not doubting that it's a procedural thing and that he'll be back. If that's what they say, whatever, maybe he will be. I'm just saying.
Well, what if somebody just told him that?
Assuming the only
why is it not being explained to us? If I'm a reporter and someone's saying to you, well, it's just a procedural thing, I'm not just writing, well, it's just a procedural
thing.
You
say, what's the procedure?
Well, what is it?
Just
explain
from reading what they wrote, I don't think anyone told him that. I think they were speculating that because he's been playing fairly well.
Well, that's
why
dumb.
Would you
Well, that's
him?
What makes it strange that they would pick him. And Andy, among the many candidates on the roster to just kind of carve
Brett Lockett?
Brett Lockett.
Or how about the linebacker who was deemed not worthy enough to play the day before? I mean, Bantakane was part of that plan that allowed us to do more,
but then he's cut? But does that give
you a huge acceleration of the cap? Some of the reasons might be.
It's easy for me to say.
The trade deadline is at 4 o'clock today, right?
Right.
Right.
So, you know, my first thought was, okay.
He wasn't so sure there after he said it.
My first thought was, okay, they have to get him off the books because they have to sign somebody right away. And you can't sign somebody unless you can fit him under the cap.
Right.
This gives them room to now renegotiate with Bantakane. There's no rush.
But I think he's assuming that nobody else is going to want him.
He's
making $600,000.
But that's not on a waiver wire. He's a free agent.
Right. That's who Eric Mangini wants to swoop in and take.
But they could, unless you have a verbal agreement with Bantakane. You know, we're going to don't worry about it.
Well, I don't.
Eric Mangini offers to pay me,
no,
I'm taking it.
I was just going to say, if somebody says, I'm going to pay you.
Because he gets his Patriots money no matter what.
Right.
So he can double up on his salary.
What you just explained is a highly plausible explanation to me. They might be making, and Andy has been saying maybe Deion Branch. You know, our listeners have been writing about Deion Branch.
Galloway's
for 3 weeks.
Gone. Branch is back. The offense is clicking. He knows the system. Brady loves him. It's marriage made in
heaven.
I don't
know exactly what the numbers are, but it's possible that he has a cap number.
I'd like a bigger receiver.
No.
Oh, great. Let's get a bigger receiver.
How about just a receiver who can catch the ball and, you know,
because, you know, Deion never looked good in this offense.
But think about it.
Deion, I think, makes the offense back to 2007.
We're trying to replace a guy
who was inactive.
We thought Galloway was going to be a guy that could also stretch the field. Is that Deion Branch?
To some degree. He's not a game-changing
elite speed guy.
I think he's a far better receiver in terms of overall skills.
But he can get deep. He could get deep. He's not a speed guy like Dante Stallworth was in 07. And
he
like
got deep
Gallo
when Randy Moss wasn't on the field. Right. You don't think he'll get deep better with Moss on the field?
He's a better all-around receiver than those guys. And obviously, him and Brady had a great connection.
Yeah.
You know, Brady was still kind of mad
good
that
routes.
He's not here.
That's what he does.
He has great feet. I heard Felger talking about this yesterday, and I totally agree with him. He has great feet.
I thought he had great everything.
But he
durability
was so good.
And,
I mean, durability is the one drawback.
His hands are good. His feet, his route running
his
is great.
His attitude was great.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
His hands were great. His knowledge
nice
of the system was great. Everything about him was, except for durability, I would say, was a huge plus. But he could have a salary. And I don't know the numbers, but he could have a salary right now. The Patriots, you're right, Fred. to trade for a guy, you have to be able to absorb that contract the day you sign him. Now, you could immediately renegotiate, and that could be the procedure that you would end up re-signing all these guys.
But wouldn't
maybe
that
Michael Matthews
lead
and,
you to
and,
these guys
Tully
are
Bantic
all veterans.
Came.
Shouldn't they be cutting Brett Lockett and all these guys who
Those guys don't give you the money right, to fit the guys.
It's got
to
add up.
They all make at least 300 and something thousand.
Now you're talking about why.
You cut a guy who makes 600.
I know,
it's not that
why,
big a difference.
Why do it?
Cuts, because that guy's money doesn't come off
me.
The cap.
Why?
It's 600
why
grand.
Do it in six steps and you can do it in two?
Because you can't. Because his money becomes guaranteed as a vested veteran when the season begins. His 620,000.
No, but they're going to bring him back, I'm saying.
It's irrelevant. It's on the books. It became on the books.
You're not saving anything,
Tuesday,
is what he's saying.
I'm
yeah,
saying
get any bonus
you need
money.
To cut young players, undrafted guys.
Galloway could save you some money.
Yes, Galloway potentially. But to just cut a guy and bring him back and change it, he has to be a guy that's not on the books, not a vested veteran.
I see what you're saying.
So if you cut Lockett and who are their undrafted guys or young players, you know, whatever.
Well, how is Galloway not a vested veteran?
No, he is too. He's not, but I don't know what his overall contract was. My guess is he's not saving you any money.
Well, wait a minute. Now,
but the money. Comes
I know
off
he
the
gets
cap,
his
though,
money.
It
comes still comes
so.
Off the cap, Andy.
I thought it came off the cap.
I didn't think so. Maybe
because it's not bonus money. It's not prorated money. It's his salary.
Maybe
now he's guaranteed his salary, but
maybe
I think
yeah,
you
I
get
think
credit
he's guaranteed to make his salary, but I don't know if it comes.
I think so.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
So then, why do teams do things right at the beginning of the year?
So they don't have to
strictly
pay him.
Money wise. Yeah. I've doubted that because I always thought strictly money was less of a consideration than cap money.
Well,
let's be honest. All the teams have enough money to keep a guy.
Well,
Yeah. But
I always thought the cap consideration was bigger because you reach a breaking point where it's on the books or it's not.
Yeah. I was just somewhat annoyed by the blanket assumption that he's coming back, which basically to me came from Tully Bantikain.
Who, by the way, Andy Hart led into Gillette Stadium approximately 6:45 last night to the Halloween party, if anybody wants to know. He had his camera and said, hey, is it too late to go up and take pictures? And I said, no. At that point, I didn't know he'd been cut, and I wouldn't have let him in because he's no longer an employee.
Your kids look really cute.
Well, thank you.
Did
I've
you
a lot of
Jack,
I was here when they came in. Jackson was dressed as Mickey Mouse and
can't remember her name.
Snyder? No.
Sydney.
Sydney was...
That's good, though, because most of the letters are the same.
Sydney was dressed as a... what?
A monkey.
A monkey.
Yes.
And then Jackson did his monkey impression for me.
Sydney got
nice.
Some quality time with Andre Tippett, who apparently has really taken to this role as ambassador, baby kisser.
He's like the grandfather?
He, like, took... Deidre walked by and said something, and he just, like, took Sydney and was holding her, swinging her around. She loved it. Jackson was a little weirded out by him. Not going to lie.
Can I give Eric Alexander added to that cut
Albert
list?
Breer is reporting that Eric Alexander has been cut.
Clearly, they are paving the way.
Something is happening here.
All right, well, so if it's not
I'm going
Deion
with
Branch,
Steven Jackson.
Yeah,
I'm going with Deion Branch.
If it's not Deion Branch, who else could it be?
Peppers.
Keep cutting. Keep cutting.
Yeah, you'd have to cut.
And I don't think
more.
He can even cut because enough of it's already on the books that
we
I'm not sure
we were told
could
before
get.
The start of the season that they needed to cut six guys to make room for Peppers. And they were all substantial salaries, by the way. And some of those guys are no longer here.
Right. I'd be stunned. I'd be thrilled because I'm a big fan of theater.
Right, well,
that would be the biggest theater.
Now, though.
It is.
I gotta
we just go live until something happens.
I got to think something's
Fred
coming.
Just looked at me with a blank stare.
Well, I'll tell you
what.
This creates a real problem for a TV show.
I'll tell you
I'm
what.
Not on it. I won't be embarrassing myself today.
Listen, I know we've got people on the line.
Yeah, but not on
we've got people on the line, and we've got a ton of emails here. But let's take a quick break. I'm going to make a phone call. I'll see what I can find out.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, not tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Green Ellis, the running back behind Brady, takes the handoff. Passes it back to Brady on a flea flicker. Brady looking, throwing long and deep. And touchdown, Randy Moss. 41 yards, flea flicker. Brady to Green Ellis. Tossed it back to Brady. 41-yard strike.
All right, we're back here at PFW in Progress. Tried to get some answers, but I couldn't find out anything. You know, from what I know, nothing's going on.
I just want to talk to the writers, Fred. I want to know what procedural means. Why are these guys all coming back?
So call them.
I'll talk to them. I'll talk to them at practice.
Yeah. You won't ask the question.
What time's practice?
Roughly 2:45.
Okay.
According to the
latest
schedule.
Just the way your mother likes it.
Whoa, hey.
What?
Roughly.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So a lot of stuff going on. Albert Breer is reporting that Eric Alexander has just been cut.
So that would bring... It's Banta Kane, Alexander, Joey Galloway, Mike Matthews.
Right. Now, the only one out of that group that I think has a chance to probably, you know, the whole reporter thing, it's procedural, is Galloway. I'm not sure that's procedural. I think
he's gone.
Yeah, I think he may be gone.
He's been inactive for 3 straight weeks.
But
we thought he was gone on Friday when we saw him leave the locker room.
Yeah. And I wonder...
just his visual.
I did turn to you immediately and said, just watching him, I think he might not be back.
He might have been. I mean, they might have told him Friday, don't come back. We're not going to announce it till Tuesday, but you're out.
And you also saw them... Was that the day that you saw Randy and Edelman, a couple of
joking with him, and he didn't play along?
He wasn't really...
And they were joking about his three-legged dog, and he didn't smile, walked away, and said nothing?
Yeah.
I don't even know if he has a three-legged dog, so...
But all the reporters that are saying it's
just
procedural,
saying.
I just wish they explained what the procedure is. That's all, you know.
Call him.
I mean, I have no reason to doubt what they wrote, you know, especially... I got to think that... The Tully Banta Kane one, I think Tully told them all.
Right.
I think Tully was quoted somewhere as saying, "I'm taking the trip to London."
No, his agent. Also,
or his agent said,
I'm taking
the trip to London.
He probably would have told me if I had known when I held the door for him that he was cut.
So I'm wondering what the procedure is. That's all. I have no doubt that
they're
right. I'm just wondering what the procedure is.
I'll ask them at practice.
I think it's poor reporting.
I'll ask what they're thinking was at practice.
But anyway, Deion Branch or Steven Jackson? Who would you rather have?
Well, that's a...
Deion Branch.
Deion.
I think.
Absolutely.
I would rather have Deion Branch because I think
I'm not so sure.
I don't want to run, the ball.
The mid-season thing is where I'd have a concern. I don't know anything about Steven Jackson, but
let's say you could assume that he'll pick up things well enough to be
in a
productive.
Couple weeks. Then Steven Jackson, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't want to run the ball
because he can. Well, he can catch the ball out of the backfield too. He's a pretty good receiver.
Maroney's back.
You gave up on him 2 weeks ago. You can't have him back. You're off.
You're hurting yourself.
And what was he yelling at the crowd after he scored on the 45-yard run?
A cow in your mouth, by the way.
Because that's not smart.
My favorite moment of the 59-0 blowout, by the way, was Brian Hoyer's touchdown. He did the separation thing with his hands.
The Randy Moss
thing. Randy Moss always does. I don't know what that means, but I like it.
It was funny.
And that was very funny when Hoyer did that.
My favorite moment was pregame when supposedly the dirtiest player in the league, this big mean center, Kevin Mawai, saw the three of us in the tunnel and said, "Hey guys, what's going on?"
And we all like, just stood there with blank faces.
The happiest, go lucky tone.
I felt like one of those, like, just adoring fans. Just right. Like, wow, man.
It totally caught us off guard.
He's clearly Rodney Harris.
I thought the best executed flea flicker pass or, toss was by Green Ellis. He waited to the very last moment to give that back to Brady.
Yeah, it ended up being like a 7-yard pass back. That was long a flip back to a quarterback as I've seen on a play like that.
And I was a little nervous that Brady wasn't getting the ball there on time.
Right, because
I was
a little nervous closing that in on Green Ellis.
Nervous that Benny was over the line.
Yeah.
And Brady was a little slow, I thought, to get there. And if you look, the hand gets pretty close. There was a chance to break it up.
Those guys were so open that some of those throws floated and were going end over end.
Mm-hmm.
And they just still got there.
Yep.
It was unbelievable.
This was posted by Mike Florio at 11:58, so about a little over a half hour ago. So the Patriots have cut 4 players in less than 24 hours. The moves spark all sorts of speculation. The release of Tully Vanacane, Joey Galloway, Eric Alexander, and Michael Matthews opens up $2.87 million in non-prorated 2009 salary cap space, which in theory allows the Patriots to absorb a player with a full season base salary of $2.85 million. Because all players were signed through 09 only, there's no cap acceleration arising from cutting them. Some are speculating that the Patriots are making a play for Chargers linebacker Sean Merriman. Coincidentally, his full season base salary for 09 is $2.972 million.
Oh, that's good.
Another possibility could be Rams running back Steven Jackson. EEI Radio apparently is throwing that one around. But Jackson's full season salary is $5.5 million.
Oh, about Deion Branch.
Many also are speculating that Adalis Thomas would be included in any trade given his surprise scratch on Sunday. His $1.9 million full season base salary would be offset by bonus acceleration from 2010 and 2011, the final 2 years of his contract.
Well, that's a good point, Paul. We're already halfway through the season. Right. Wouldn't those numbers be halved?
Wouldn't those numbers be smaller?
But I think he did it both sides, used the whole number on both sides.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Shouldn't
those
numbers
be halved? But it's still the same. I think he's saying the cuts total $2.8 million in full season, you'd be adding. Whether you say it's 1.4 and 1.4 or 2.8.
With Merriman. Right.
I think he used the full numbers on both sides of the ledger.
And before anybody jumps on me, I know that you're not getting it straight up, okay? But if you would do the Steven Jackson kind of deal, wouldn't it make sense to get Maroney in the deal? I mean, it would cost you a second rounder in Maroney or whatever.
Plus they're twin brothers and wear the same number?
As a throw-in, but plus he's from St. Louis.
Right, I mean.
You know, and you get him back home and maybe that works out for the Rams. So let's face it, Maroney's not without talent. He's maddening.
He's without production.
He's maddening, but he's not without talent. So I wonder if maybe they work hard to try to get him in a deal like that. But this trade deadline stuff, this is the first time in 10 years the trade deadline has been fun.
Right.
Well, now,
even if they don't do anything.
Well, even just around the league, you already had Gaines Adams, that was the fifth overall pick or something, and Braylon Edwards. I mean, in the last, those are big-name players.
And a couple of things, and I really agree with Bill on both of those. You know, the whole system thing. Braylon Edwards, we talked about, same system.
Deion Branch.
Gaines Adams is in a little bit of a different defense this year, but played in the Tampa 2. In his first couple, his first 2 years in the league, that's what he's playing in Chicago. So again, similar systems that he's going to.
Although on the defensive line, I mean,
no, I'm just making the point.
Richard Seymour, I don't think, is in the same, and he seems to be doing
okay.
Did he
play for Lovie down in
in Tampa?
Yeah,
no, Lovie's been the Bears since 04, 05.
Adams was what draft?
3 years ago,
07, I think.
Oh yeah, okay.
But it's still the Tampa 2
right,
until this year.
Right.
They changed this year. They had Gruden was running the Tampa 2 defense.
Now, Stripper says that on Monty later Kipper. On Pro Football Talk, it says this whole thing will be a non-story in a few hours. The Patriots are going to re-sign both Bannekane and Alexander to two-year contracts. It gives them both an extra year but lowers their cap numbers for this year. It's a simply a salary cap move.
See, I don't really understand
why. I don't
why.
Understand that.
I don't understand what.
And does that all have to be done before the trade deadline?
I don't understand why they couldn't just sign extensions.
I don't know.
There's a lot of these little things that...
Stupid?
Well,
I'm sure
no,
they were
confusing.
Put in for a reason, but I think they have enough rules that don't exist, that should exist, where some of these seem to exist for not a lot of great reasons.
We'll have to ask Bill at his press conference then.
Good luck with that.
But let's put it this way.
Well, he has to know the rules.
The amount of guys that
he'll
they've
pretend
released,
he doesn't know the minutia of the CBA and contracts.
The amount of guys
no doubt.
They've released
really solving the world's problems.
Exactly.
Has to indicate that most of those guys will be back. Because even if you were going to make a blockbuster deal, does it sound like something Bill would do? I'm going to release five guys off my roster so I can take one in.
Well, if he brought some of them back. If
that's
it was some
that's
sort
my
of
point. You
procedure.
Have to think that most of these guys are going to be back.
Well, I think the two are going to be back, and the two that were released by the team via Twitter are not going to be back. The Galloway Matthews.
Well, Galloway, definitely, I think.
Because I think if Bantakane was really gone, I think they would have issued a release. They are keeping it quiet because it's procedural, and he's going to be on the team as of today or whatever, both guys.
Right.
But I think the guys that they announced or released are no longer New England Patriots and will not be asked to board a plane and
but
go to England.
Don't you have to announce every transaction you make?
I don't think you have to.
I think you
isn't
do.
That,
no,
that
the
rules?
Oakland Raiders never do.
Right.
No. Oh, no, but on their website they don't. But to the management council, everything.
Oh, no. To
right.
the league.
And the management
yeah,
council
right,
found
yes.
out Tully Bantakane was released yesterday.
I mean to us.
No,
they don't
no,
have to
announce
it to the
announce
media.
Everything.
You don't have to have a PR department. You don't have to do anything.
No. Nope.
Right.
Tully's back.
Tully's
officially?
Back. He never left, officially.
According to Schefter, he's back.
Oh, yeah.
So Tully's back already.
This will be funny if they announce that they have signed Tully Bantakane after having
never
announced that they
released
him. So they obviously just renegotiated his contract, gave him an extension, lowered his 2009 salary, I'm sure.
That's the part that I don't understand.
But then
that,
why?
They did that with Billy Yates, remember? They made an announcement re-signing Billy Yates and never announcing that he had...
I wonder if it also has to do with one-year deals and the veteran pro. You know how they do the 400,000 six. You know whatever it only counts 400. I wonder if that could be involved in any way. Wow.
All right. Well, it is interesting anyway. A lot of sudden movement. It's like they woke up. You know, yesterday says let's renegotiate some contracts, and so.
Well, I doubt that happened. I'm guessing they knew exactly when and where they were doing
it. The Galloway thing, everybody was, I mean, I know it's just media reports and stuff, but that Baltimore was interested. I wonder.
Probably not interested enough.
Yeah. But even if you could get anything for him.
Right.
Any draft pick.
Conditional?
A conditional draft pick. Anything.
Right. Wouldn't you
Prescott
take,
Burgess.
Wouldn't you do it?
That could have been a straight-up trade.
Well, now he's a free agent. We'll see if anyone picks him up.
Yeah, and that will be the case for this last day because at this point on, guys would have to go through waivers, right? This is the point where it goes from the waivers period starts after the trading deadline, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's how it was explained to me.
Now, Andy, I'm not going to finish this. Do you want it?
No.
Okay.
Why would I want it?
You usually finish what I don't eat.
Well, you had a completely untouched half of a tuna sub.
All right.
That you've pawed through with your fingers and took a big bite out of
you
it.
You can eat around it.
No.
All right.
What is wrong with you?
You don't want to waste food.
A topic I'd like to address.
A lot of stuff going
got
on.
Lost in the Adalys Thomas healthy scratch scuttlebutt is the fact that the secondary is undergoing a similar transition.
I have a theory about that.
Where Lee Bodden is no longer a starter. Sean Springs is no longer as much a part. And Darius Butler's your starter, had an interception.
Do you think, though, that, you know, because of what happened at UConn, you know, Butler, they just said, you know what, let's start the guy, let him focus on football, kind of? No.
No. I don't think Bill does that.
You don't think so?
No.
No.
Whatever's good for this team.
Well, it would be good to have him focused, get him a little focused.
For the individual,
but,
it might have been good. But
I mean, the alternative you're saying is start Lee Bodden and have Springs come in, and
which is
Butler
what they
can
did over the first
take
five
a mental,
games.
What do they call them, a bereavement day, basically.
Yeah. I mean, over the first
mental
five games,
yeah.
Butler, I think, has played reasonably well, but he's been a real bit player. He's the sixth defensive
Some
back.
Nice bits.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But he hasn't played a lot. In terms of snaps, he hasn't gotten a lot.
And somewhere, there was one that was equipment-related where he had to play.
And that was the end of the Baltimore game, I think. That's when he got his most consecutive snaps.
He had a nice play in the Bills opener. We almost had a pick, like his first play.
Late in the game, yes.
He's been around the ball. He's looked nice, but I agree. There would have been no difference, really, had you not played him on after a friend in a tragic situation at UConn. I don't think there would have been any difference if you'd I don't think you gave him a boost by saying, oh, by the way, I know you lost your friend last night. You're also starting. Here's the fire. Yeah. Go find it.
I think they want to
I think Bill's
looking at it and saying, what's the difference? How much of a difference do I get in performance by substituting A, B, and C for younger A, B, and C? And I think he's trying to make those evaluations right now.
Why now?
Move forward. Well, just look, he's kind of looking at the now and looking at the future at the same time.
But as I said to you upstairs, Lee Bodden has been Fernando Bryant. From day one, he was a starter. He just happened to make the roster and now seems to have lost his job in the middle of the season.
And it was odd. Well,
can't tell you that I've seen him be terrible this year.
And, Bill said all week how he respects the Titans and, they're a good team and all that. But maybe behind closed doors, he felt like if there's a week that we can get away with reshuffling the lineup a little bit, it would be against this team.
But the question is, why are you reshuffling? Why are you trying to get away with
it? No, like he said, to try to maybe give a guy some experience that he normally wouldn't get.
So the bottom line is,
maybe
Springs and Bodden aren't good enough.
Better too.
Springs and Bodden aren't good enough. You're not shuffling it just because.
Oh, no, I think
he can get better at it.
And one of our emailers writes in, John from Colorado, says that Galloway's been signed with Tampa Bay.
Wow.
I don't have a confirmation on that, but maybe Doc.
I would say that he'll tell the Bucks the Patriots offense, but he never learned the Patriots offense. So what's the point?
Doc is on the Tampa Bay site right now. He's looking. That's
Bassett didn't get out of the London trip.
Go to cheerleaders. Ignore Galloway. Go to cheerleaders.
Maybe he wanted to go, Paul, and maybe that's why he signed with Tampa Bay.
He just wanted to go to London.
A couple of other things with these moves. Possibilities. Is there a possibility that Brandon Tate is 100% and they want him to play right away? And they need to make
they're
room
both going to be on the practice field was the the way Bill said it.
But they have time to make a decision. What if they say he's ready? Let's
but with
go.
How definitive,
I'd be very surprised. I'd be very surprised.
I don't know. With how definitive Bill was, I think there's a chance both those guys are on the roster.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
I believe
you'll see both those guys on the practice field tomorrow or something. Which for him is like saying they're healthy, ready to go, and now it's just to see how much they can help
us. I'm shocked if that's the case.
Possibility number two. Making room to sign Vince Wilfork.
I think that's also a possibility.
I don't know. And then
how would that be related to right now?
Just get a little room. I don't know.
He's looking for huge money.
And it would be for the future.
For the future.
Not this year.
Yeah.
So I just don't know how much of a ramification.
Well, maybe he needs that $1 million shut up money extra or something. I don't know.
Maybe. Because I just think there's a way you can guarantee a bonus for next spring. He doesn't get the check today, but he's guaranteed. He is taken care of. It is guaranteed he will get $20 million next spring. That doesn't involve your current cap. So I think that is the least likely of all the scenarios we've posed.
Would anyone give a first-round pick for Steve Smith from Carolina?
I think he's worth the first-round pick in talent.
I would not.
But I would worry about
him. He's disgruntled.
Yeah, he's very disgruntled.
Carolina's going nowhere.
Well, I don't know about that.
I do.
See, I don't think anybody's out of it in the NFC, except for the winless teams. I think 2 and 3 are as much of a contender as anybody in that conference.
Very early. I'd take Steve Smith. He's young enough. He's your future after Moss is your present.
He's been around.
It's comments like the one he made after the game that would make me afraid.
He's been around a while.
Yeah.
2000 maybe.
Those kinds of things don't trouble you?
Yeah. A little bit. I think he's a hothead, but
he's amazingly talented.
To say after a game that they won that it's bittersweet because I wasn't a part of it. What happens if you win a game here and you're not like that?
Can you imagine? Randy Moss never said anything
like
that.
Can you imagine?
I mean, to me, he's immature.
Not as a Patriot.
With Wes Welker.
So neither would Steve Smith as a Patriot.
Because Smith can go underneath, he can go long, he's strong, he's fast.
He could, but like Paul said, he's
long, he's strong.
If we're going strictly on talent, I would absolutely give up a first-round pick for Steve Smith. He's one of the five best receivers in football when he wants to be.
Imagine that.
But there are other factors to consider, though.
Whatever.
There are other factors that could be...
third.
That could have an impact on the locker room, on the
right.
You got to take that
but
into consideration.
This is the place where they come. We're a rehabilitation locker room.
Yeah, I questioned that upstairs a little today, and it's before some of this happened, Galloway's release. But I said to Paul, is there a chance you have Thomas now who's potentially disgruntled? Then you have Joey Galloway who's sitting out for 3 weeks. Lee Bodden, who's been taken out of the starting lineup. Sean Springs. Is there a chance you suddenly have... how did you pose it, Eric?
Misery Loves Company?
Yeah, that wasn't what I wanted. but, like, if you have all these veterans disgruntled, they become a clique.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink?
they become a clique.
Burn the hand.
Okay!
And the bush.
They become a clique.
6-2 and even.
And can that go the other way? I mean, if you have these guys, we're all getting sent messages, and I said, you know, I'm sure there's guys in that locker room who are kind of followers. So if those couple guys are friends with these guys, and then these guys are chirping, Belichick's an idiot, and I'm not getting enough touches.
Okay.
And
well, now to go on
But
your
now
point,
Galloway's gone, so I kind of lost one of my...
The ultimate chess master, Bill Belichick, he knows he's going to be making these moves, personnel-wise, guys pulling getting pulled out. Let's bring in Junior Seau now to keep that locker room together because we're going to have some a little bit of disgruntled. We need that unifying force.
I'll give you something, Fred. That's as good a reason for why now for Seau.
Right.
He knew he was going to be making some moves that might not necessarily be deemed
might not go over so well.
Mainstream. Yeah. I might need someone.
And
now,
benching
I don't think...
his best linebacker, he knew he'd need more linebackers.
Well, yeah.
Right?
55 did do the breakdown postgame.
He did.
Wow.
What's the breakdown?
How do we feel about...
Oh, I figured. He's one of those guys that, yeah.
Well, still
how do we
that.
Feel about getting run over by a bull? Oh, yeah.
How do we feel about putting my big coconut butt on a fumble, as he said?
Jim from Texas on the phone. Jim, thanks for holding on. What do you got?
Well, Fred, this is one of the better shows you've had in years. I commend you and the entire staff. You guys are really on target today. You guys did your homework, motivated, dedicated.
lubricated.
It's because Paul's wearing a tie.
Intoxicated.
Testiculated. Fabricated.
First time in a couple of years that actually I agree with you. The trading deadline actually is interesting. Let me hit on a few points. As far as Eric Alexander goes, I always thought that he was a guy, when he's made the roster the last two seasons particularly, I've been very surprised, not even a little, but so... His release wasn't any great, Chuck. Vanta Kane, that surprised me because he actually has been one of the few guys in this defense that has gotten to the quarterback when asked to do it on third down. So that one, I think, and I believe with the reporting, if he will be back, and as far as the procedural stuff, Bill's not going to tell you guys anyways, and you work for him, so what does that tell you? So you have no idea, and you know what, you probably never will know moving forward to that. We have $2.87 million under the cap, and we get rid of Matthews. We got Chris Baker, we got Ben Watson. They have enough at tight end, I guess, that, well, they don't really need a third blocking tight end when pretty much Chris Baker's been the blocking tight end. So I think that's another move that means really little to nothing. So what else you got? Well, Steven Jackson would make the most sense for this team, but if he's making $5 million, can't do it. You know, there's just no way around it unless you get rid of Thomas. If you trade a Dallas Thomas, and let's say a second or a third or whatever it is, and I don't think you would do that because I think Merriman's in he's got 1 year left in his current contract.
This is it for him.
We should say before we get everybody's hopes up. In all likelihood, the day ends the way it always ends.
Right.
As people saying, there was a lot of good talk.
We know
in
that,
trades.
But we're not gonna throw a wet blanket on this PFW in progress party.
Because we are testiculated.
Right, because Jim's right.
No, Eddie, I would agree with you on that one, though. If they make a move, it'll be a small one. I don't think that they're going to bring anybody. But just to point this out to you both, Deion Branch and Steve Smith were both in the same 2001 draft. Or 2000. They're both drafted the same year, and I want to say that was 2002.
So we'll get both of them.
Well, Branch was drafted in 2002. I know that.
Well, then Steve Smith was in the same draft, so okay. They're both about the same age.
I love Steve Smith.
One is not necessarily any younger than the other, and they both, well, Deion's just, he's the injury riddled, so I don't think he's coming back here. I really wouldn't mind seeing it, I mean, but I don't think it will happen because he makes a lot of money. Again, money is the biggest arbitrator in all this. What do they make? What do we got under the cap? Which, I'm going to guess we get about $5 million, because Bill generally keeps about $2.5 million to sign somebody as an emergency. I don't think he's going to bring in a $5 million salary. He just doesn't do that because he likes to have week 10, week 12, week 14, somebody goes down, and you need to get some JAG player in. Well, and you have to have some money under the cap to do that.
Word.
So, but anyways, guys, great show, though. I mean,
okay,
and we didn't even talk about, you went 30 minutes without insulting each other. I'm very impressed. You guys, and it was Paul that did it today.
Yeah.
Paul, what happened?
Who did he insult?
I think it was you, Andy. We went 30 minutes without an insult, a gay joke, an inappropriate remark, a cuss word. I mean, I'm impressed. Guys, you're doing awesome. Keep up the outstanding work. I'm going to have to buy you lunch for that one alone. Well,
all right. Thanks, Jim. I love it.
He did that all up in his office already.
All right, Jim from Texas, playing the role of our dad.
That wasn't very nice, Paul.
You guys are behaving really well today. I'm going to take you out for an ice cream.
Hey, thank you.
No, you won't, because when your little iPhone takes us to the ice cream place, it'll be a brick wall.
Adalys Thomas, by the way, I think is somewhat untradeable because I think he has that funky bonus that they gave him in $2 million increments there. That
just
I think,
the last time I thought a guy was virtually untradeable because he'd cost as much leaving as staying, his name was Richard, and it ended in Seymour. I thought he had a similar contract.
But I think that I think the difference is that Thomas cost more to trade than he would have to keep.
See, I thought.
Aveyard from Long Meadow says, per NFL rules, a veteran player may not renegotiate to raise his salary for 12 months after the most recent renegotiation. My guess is they want to sign Bannikane and Alexander with extensions, but since they signed their last contract within the last 12 months, they were cut with the understanding that they will be re-signed to new multi-year contracts to get around the rule on extensions. Aiken didn't need to be cut to be extended because he was signed more than 12 months ago.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that it's something like
that. So it's not you can't renegotiate it twice. You can't negotiate a contract twice because Bannikane didn't renegotiate. He signed.
Yeah,
that
right.
was an initial negotiation as an unrestricted free agent.
Right.
So it's you can't do anything to a contract twice in a year.
He can't sign again.
Right. Because I always thought it was renegotiated. I thought it was made for extensions, the Seymour stuff where they tweak here, tweak there.
Yeah.
It's clearly,
I would wonder
you can't do anything within a year.
Why the urgency to re-sign Tully Bantikin and Eric Alexander to two-year deals or a multi-year deals, as that guy indicated? And I think he's right. I think he's absolutely right. That's got to be the procedure
right.
that no one knows about. It's something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, why now? Is what you're saying.
But why now? Like, why did it have to be done now, and why couldn't you just wait till the end of the year?
I think it's just in case. Well, I don't know. But Jeff says that I'm ridiculous. You don't pay someone $1 million a game. Say $11.45 million for – no, it isn't. First of all, Jeff, Seymour's getting paid a little – Seau is getting paid a little bit more of $1 million for the whole year.
For the whole year, not per game.
He's saying that he's getting $11.45 million for the – no, he's getting a little over $1 million for the whole year.
That's
but
right.
he says you don't pay anyone that much who plays half the defensive plays for a boost in the locker room morale. That's just part of it, Jeff.
And you're not paying him that much.
No, you're paying.
He's getting like 1.45 for the whole year.
Yeah, which is, I think, a little high, but it's not 11 million. It's not $1 million a game. It's $1 million for
the
season.
What's the going rate for the veteran minimums at 20 seasons these days? Maybe that's just the veteran minimum.
Maybe that's why he keeps coming back.
Maybe they asked him what he wanted to make and said, we don't really have a standard to go by on 20th season 40-year-old veterans.
So. All right, well, it's good stuff. Web
Fred,
radio.
Did you know that?
Let me just say, webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
You never gave it out before. Why do you
543-7482 is the phone number. Go.
There were like specific negotiations, according to Seau, between the New England Patriots and Versus for him to join the team now, because Seau owes them two shows. They have, I guess, six in the can, and he owed, it was an 8-season deal.
So they really did want to get him right away.
There were specific negotiations, yes, to not wait for him to finish a TV series before he came.
And you would think, hey, we can wait till the bye and then get him during the bye or whatever.
But they needed the veteran experience.
Yeah.
In your little plan as the preacher and the leader as they go through a tumultuous time right now. Adalys Thomas, I still can't believe he was inactive. Like, as much as we've talked about it, written about it for the last 2 days, I can't believe it. I mean, as much as we've criticized him, maybe been his harshest critics locally.
Yeah, but we criticize him for not making big plays. What we thought we didn't have to worry about is just him out there
average
screwing
everyday
up.
Plays. Yeah.
He was
or not even screwing up.
He was a solid guy.
Maybe Bill believes he can do better.
Right.
It's not necessarily screwing up, because I'm not sure he has screwed up a ton. But if he's not fulfilling his potential, that would be it.
Right.
I think he's held to a different standard than Rob Ninkovich.
Right.
It's not an apples to apples. Rob Ninkovich is really better right now than I think the standard is different.
And Belichick might be saying the same thing to everybody, to Lee Bodden and Lawrence Maroney. And, hey,
maybe it wasn't just
in
a
order for us
Thomas,
to compete this year, we're going to need every one of you to play to your potential, and I'm the guy that decides what your potential is.
That's why I'm glad this Bantikin thing is procedural, because I think you would have
exceeding his potential.
Well, that's my point. Right. You would have had a two-way street. You're saying anybody who works hard is going to play. We need your best, and the guy who seemingly has given you his best and worked as hard and produced, you cut.
But But in this case,
maybe you gave him a bonus.
As it turns
maybe
out,
maybe he just got a reward.
The guy that succeeded.
Wow, we're just really talking this
we just
through.
Extended so, him.
So right. is the. Right. Is,
I never said that,
Fred. You and I, we're doing a good job.
Are you saying maybe that the Thomas
with you.
The
making
Thomas
chicken
move
salad, baby,
was not just a message to him, but to the rest of the team?
Yes,
that...
it's to everybody. Lee Bodden was the same message.
Oh my, God.
You know.
Sorry.
So
I just raced a bus to an intersection.
You know, I
just
think,
barely.
You know, and again, we don't know this, but this could be Bill Belichick looking at the first 5 weeks, you know, now six, and saying, we can do this, but this is what it's going to take. It's going to take everybody.
But do
playing.
You think Bodden, the Bodden one, I don't understand. Not one person criticized Bodden, as far as I can tell,
yeah.
through the first 5 weeks of not living up
but
to
maybe,
anything.
No, just maybe the Denver game giving up a little too much.
But that
pushing.
Was like for like a series.
Right.
Everybody
that's,
said, that's "Where's
the,
why is Ellis Hodge
back?" Remember,
every but, series counts, every
but,
play counts. You know?
And then he's, and it's flown under the radar. No one's talking about it, so clearly no one cares. They think Butler's better, or just
plus, the Bodden thing in Denver was clearly scheme related.
Right.
It was clearly
but
the game plan because Springs played the same way on the other side.
You don't think the Butler thing started had anything to do with UConn?
No,
no.
Okay,
no, I don't think that had anything to do with it because I don't think it would make sense to
decide
I'm going to quadruple his playing time.
When he may or may not
when
be
when he may or may not it. Be mentally in it. There was no reason.
I think
no
if we're
going to
combine
that.
Events, I think the Bodden thing goes with the Thomas thing. Couldn't afford to have Lee Bodden be inactive, but was sent a message. Veterans who are relatively well paid and maybe not performing up to their, as
right.
you said, relative
yeah.
standards.
And if there's a week you can get away with it, maybe it's against the you know
Steve
a winless
Smith,
Titans team.
Steve Smith, Deion Branch, by the way. Smith was drafted in 01, Branch 02. They are the same age, though. They're both 30.
Right.
They're both 30 years
and,
old.
Smith has had major injuries, not as many as Branch, right?
I didn't look at all.
Tore his ACL.
Yeah, I know he's
I believe
had major
he had
injuries.
One other. He's also had some major but fisticuffs.
Smith is also, you know, the far better player.
Oh yeah,
far better player.
Dynamic playmaker
Branch.
in a
and Fred's right.
frame.
You know, you put him on the outside, on the other side, and Steve Smith could do a lot of things.
Yeah,
I
punch you in the face.
Well, hey.
Wouldn't be the first time
do?
Somebody tried.
It's true. He gets into fights in the locker room.
I said it wouldn't last 2 weeks, baby.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the view of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Terry!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
You know, you don't want to be so big and stiff, you know, come season time. You want to be able to loosen up. And I never like to get too big and stiff anyway. I always try to be, you know, more athletic and more lean and, you know, keeping my ability to move.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. You know, I want to read this email because last night I was watching the pregame for the San Diego, and Jaworski was doing one of his breakdowns. He was focusing on the San Diego Chargers secondary, Cromartie and those guys. And you know, we complain a lot about, you know, our secondary not tackling, particularly Merriweather.
Right.
Oh, my God. I mean, these guys were just kind of like walking up to guys and just letting them go by them. They did not want to make contact.
Did you see the D'Angelo Hall? He was on, I believe, the Come On Man or one of the pregame segments.
Yeah.
He had embarrassing highlights of not tackling from three of the six games this season. One where he kind of like just got behind a guy and just assumed he was going to and didn't, never touched him.
Right.
A couple others. And Chris Carter said, what did he say? Quote, if you're going to steal the money, at least wear a mask. Because he signed a big deal. I mean, it was far worse than Merriweather. At least Merriweather usually bounces off.
Right.
Hall didn't reach the point where he could bounce off. But even last night during early in the game, Champ Bailey had a really nice play on the fullback caught a pass, and Champ Bailey came up, caused a fumble. It popped out of bounds. But he caused the fumble with his head down. Like, even when he had a nice play, his head was
he wasn't even looking
straight at the you know how they tell you, head up, look at the football,
right.
Put your head on the football. Even when people make good tackles, the head is always down. You always talk about
that's dangerous, too.
The head down is the blatant thing they all disregard, is not seeing what they're doing.
And that's also the most dangerous position to put yourself in as a player.
Snap your neck,
right.
And then everybody's going to feel bad. No, it isn't. Do what they've told you to do since sixth grade on those posters that are archaic.
See what you're hitting.
But are in every place you put on a helmet, they have those posters.
Right.
I think they're the same ones in the NFL that you have in high school about your head up and not spearing. And they're all the same posters.
This is what Nano writes in. The NFL Red Zone commercial that shows a Buffalo Bill scoring a touchdown over a missed tackle by Brandon Merriweather drives me crazy every time I see it. It's a textbook example of what is wrong with Merriweather's ability to tackle as
they
he launches himself at the runner, drops his head so he can't see what he's flying at. His hands are not out in front of him, but instead drop below his body so he can't wrap up the runner, and he ends up going under the runner who scores the TD. I would hope this sort of notoriety would be embarrassing to him and would encourage him to change. If I was Belichick, I would show Merriweather this commercial on a continuous loop, Clockwork Orange style, to see if he could be reconditioned with regards to making tackles.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Based on what he said about his taunting penalty and the fact that he was going to be Brandon being Brandon, I don't think he's going to.
The only optimistic tone I can take is that in his rookie year, he knew he had a problem with holding on to the football, and he worked on it all offseason. Maybe by now, maybe coming into this offseason, maybe he'll realize that he has a problem tackling people, and he'll work on that.
That was the hope I held out last year. Hasn't happened.
I know.
Same guy.
I know.
I think tackling's hard
to teach.
I'll
give him one more year.
Level. I don't think you can change instincts. I don't think you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
It's disappointing, though.
It is.
He's not the only one, either.
He's not the only one.
But
it's rampant throughout the league. I would say, he's the common. I mean, more often than not, guys do what he does.
Oh yeah, it's this thing. I want to get the ESPN highlight reel of knocking somebody out instead of just simply tackling.
And
him.
It's true because James Sanders has simply been tackling people for 4 years here, and no one notices.
And even if you don't get the tackle,
right.
cause the fumble, you're slowing the guy down to allow a teammate maybe to come in and cause a fumble or do
That's
something.
Right.
But at least you're not letting the guy gain an
That's
extra
right.
15, 20 yards.
You know, not all these guys, they all think they're Ronnie Lott, but they're not. You know?
It's true.
Yeah.
Let's see. On the phone right now is John in Dallas. John, how you doing? John.
Hey, guys. I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
We're doing great. Hey, we're all excited here. We're excited about 59-0, going to London this week. Trade deadline's at 4 o'clock. What do you got for us?
Well, I've been on for the last hour, but I've been listening to ESPN in Dallas, and John Clayton was on about 10, 15 minutes ago. He was saying that the Patriots have been frantically calling around the league this morning trying to find a third receiver. I don't know if it's firsthand knowledge or if it's just speculating based on the Patriots' needs, but he seemed to know what he was talking about, at least, you know.
He must know something if he's that specific.
I mean, if he says they're frantically calling, that's not speculation. That's saying I've talked to a number of teams that have received phone calls from the New England Patriots.
Yeah,
Deion Branch, baby. Deion Branch, that's my guy.
Well, they don't have to call around to get him. You just need to call one team.
Yeah, but you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into just one option.
But, you know.
I like the word due diligence, and I call all the teams to see if they have receivers.
Do they all have Deion Branch?
They forgot which team he was on.
Right.
Did you guys have Deion Branch?
Kelly Washington?
What?
I'm going with guys who know the system.
Yeah, I got to think if you're
Sean made some Morey? Nice catches this year.
Who else knows the system? What other receivers are there out there?
I think
Dante Stott. Oh,
nah. For a receiver,
hope
I think
see
it's,
him no time
it's got to be Branch because of the system thing, and it just doesn't make any sense to me to ask someone else to come in that doesn't know the system. You know, based on the troubles that you've had with guys that have been here all offseason.
Right. So those are our only options: Deion Branch and Sean Morey.
To me, it's just Deion Branch.
Or Morey.
Sean Morey.
Well, I think there are more options on the table here. He didn't say we were calling the Seahawks. He was saying there was multiple calling frantically around the league.
I'm flat out not believing John Clayton, but that's just.
But even if you believe him, I'd have my fears that you're back in the Joey Galloway boat. That he's you got
the
guy
doesn't
that,
know anything about your system, and
because we've all gotten excited about a resume joining the Patriots before. His name was Joey Galloway.
I
want to get excited about
I'm
a body.
Probably guiltier of that than any of you.
Greg Lewis, can we get him?
I jumped on it. Greg Lewis, you know, throw him with the Branch thing because he knows the system and he's certainly expendable because he doesn't play.
Right.
He's seemingly the only Minnesota Viking that doesn't catch three touchdowns every week.
Now, will Bill say Childress?
Still only have one catch?
About that Garrett Mills whole pissing contest we got into a few years ago, can we bury that hatchet, preferably in your back?
Oh,
I'm just saying.
He's looking at Eric.
Wow.
So, John, who are the other options that you are posing in your head?
I don't know. I mean, at receiver, I've seen a couple of sources, well, things online talking about Kevin Curtis. You know, I think ProFootballTalk.com has something about Steven Jackson. Well, I know he's not a receiver, but they've linked us to Steven Jackson, Sean Merriman. There's many others. I don't buy any of those, honestly. I think if it's going to happen, I don't think it's going to happen, but I think if it's going to happen, it's going to be a receiver, third receiver, and probably somebody – Maybe like a Kevin Curtis. I'm not sure. I don't even know if he would fit the Patriots system.
Well, I don't.
I think they already have guys like Kevin Curtis on the team.
I mean, I think he'd fit because I think they need a receiver. They could use a veteran receiver. I'm not sure he fulfills the knowledge of the scheme and the ability to contribute immediately.
Yeah.
That's why we just talked about it. Maybe it's Brandon Tate. Maybe he's been studying that playbook since day one, gets on the practice field, shows he's healthy, and Brandon Tate splits some reps with
that'd
Edelman.
That'd be remarkable if that's the case.
I don't know.
Honestly, guys, I think it's going to be either Tate, right, comes back, or maybe Nunn gets promoted. I'm not sure, but I don't think it's going to come from the outside, to be
or
honest.
Maybe both.
Well, I mean, but if it is true that the Patriots are frantically calling around the league looking for a third receiver, I mean, then we're right in what we've been saying, that this isn't what they planned on. They didn't plan on Julian Edelman and Sam Aiken being 3 and 4.
Right, right.
We knew they planned on Galloway being 3.
Yeah.
But at the point they cut Lewis, shouldn't they have known Galloway wasn't what he thought he was going to be?
That's where I think that the criticism is warranted. I don't criticize them for signing Joey Galloway.
No.
I'm criticizing them for not knowing that he was struggling picking things up as late as August.
Games.
We need Greg Lewis. Insurance.
So I think that you're probably looking at Tate and Lavore replacing Matthews and Galloway on the roster. And the way our emailers have been writing in left and right, that I think Schefter's already reporting that Alexander and Vantacane already re-signed.
Right.
So there's your roster.
All your roster
I think all the trading deadline talk is fun, and I'm enjoying it. and we'll do so until 4 o'clock.
Yeah, we started it 3 weeks ago. We started the Merriman rumor.
Our listeners started all of this stuff. Well, we started the Merriman one, but you know, how long have the listeners been writing about Dion Branch?
Mm-hmm.
A long time. Yeah. Since like week one when he didn't have week two, I think he had like two catches, and he was really a non-factor. I think he has 12 catches on the year, Branch.
Right. All right.
Hey, guys. Guys, last week when I called in, I was really critical of Tom Brady. You know, discounting the terrible Titans secondary, Brady looked a heck of a lot more precise last week.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier, and I was wondering if it was the elements kind of helped him where he maybe wasn't thinking, forcing, doing whatever so much, and just kind of let it go and played football and got back to the old Brady. And when he did that, the results were the old Brady.
Oh.
Well, he talked about shifting his hand on the ball. I don't know if that's to account for the elements.
Yeah, he said
maybe,
that.
Maybe there's something more to it.
He said when the ball's wet, he moves his hand up to get a better grip. And for some reason, that's funny.
He really is the single most immature person ever.
All right, John. All right, John. Thanks for calling. Adrian in Cleveland says, talking about Bob.
Oh, Adrian.
Wasn't he the guy who went through the whole thing about you can't overlook the sack because above the sack you can only... And I'm the most immature guy ever.
I never heard that. Adrian in Cleveland says, in the Denver game, Bob definitely got beaten quite a few times by Kyle Orton. Actually, Orton seems to target him as the easiest cornerback to beat. He continually gave space to the receivers to catch the ball, although he's usually in a good position to tackle him shortly after, just like Ellis Hobbs III.
Well, he wasn't in Denver when he let Brandon Marshall score and chastised himself post-game.
And Ellis Hobbs also gave up big plays, by the way.
Maybe Bill already told him to get closer to the receivers in that game, but he still couldn't do the job. Actually, a little competitive rotation at cornerback position is not a bad thing. It's the position that has lots of depth and higher draft pick credentials.
I agree with all that, but I thought they had the competitive rotation the way it was, with Butler seeing some time, Springs coming in. Even Wheatley saw a little action a couple weeks ago. Will Height on the other side. You know, I agree, long term, it's great. If Butler and Will Height are your best corners, then it's great. If you've established you have two, you know, first and second year starting corners, then I'm all for it. I'm just wondering, again, what it says about the guys you brought in apparently to be key contributors this year in Springs and
Bud. Agree. I totally agree with Andy, and I think the competition at cornerback is great. I agree with the emailer. It is a solid area of depth, I think, right now, which is really a pleasant surprise.
Yep.
That you've kind of hit on all of them. I mean, all the guys that
at least
that,
from
that,
afar
that you were
maybe
hoping,
you missed on Bodden and we didn't notice it.
But I what I don't agree on is that Bodden played quote unquote badly against Denver. I think that was the game plan in that game. Sean Springs got beat. Jonathan Wilhite got torched in that game.
The whole secondary
clearly was playing off of the receivers, not by choice, because we've seen them up on receivers and we've seen them back at various times this year. That game, they were back. And to me, that tells me that was the game plan that they wanted to go into that game with in Denver. And if Bodden lost his job because of that, I would be surprised. I got to think that he feels like Butler's coming on. He wants to get him out there.
But isn't that a dangerous game? I mean,
yes,
Lee Bodden is a starting NFL corner. He has been for 4 years now. And if you decide you're going with Butler, you don't know how a veteran reacts to, I'm always a starter. That's what I do. I've been a starter here since the first day of training camp. Now I'm a backup, and where his head goes, how he treats it. I mean, you, as an NFL head coach, you're massaging as many egos and minds as you are thighs, essentially.
And Jeff in Syracuse blows my theory of, Butler starting having anything to do with UConn, because he says in an interview from somebody after the UConn game, he says Butler talked to somebody, and that he said that he talked to Jasper after the UConn game and told him he was going to be starting Sunday against the Titans. So Butler knew before game day on Saturday that he was going to be starting in that game.
Yeah, I just think he's been playing well enough that maybe they figured, you know, why wait any longer? Let's get the kid in there now and see, you know, how he handles it.
I was surprised by that. But
how does Bodden handle it?
Right.
If Butler doesn't handle it well, how does Bodden handle it when you go?
Well, you can't be worried about that. You put the best guys out there.
Okay.
You know,
I think you have to be worried about that. I mean, I think you manage an entire team.
Well, I mean, should Sean Springs be mad because Will Height was starting in front of him?
I don't say you can't make a move because of it, but you have to be cognizant of it.
I'm sure he is cognizant of it. But
if you need all of them, you need them.
And Will Height's been starting since day one.
I know, but, you know, I'm sure Sean Spring's been in the league a long time. Oh, I'm better than Will Hight. You know,
he might, and you know might that, think that's, that, that's probably it, what the understanding was when they came in. Right. Was look, you might be starting right now. That could be at any point. We could say, you know, it's, this guy's playing better, or the scheme calls for this.
With and who?
With any of the veterans that they brought in.
I'm not sure it was that way with Bodden, because his whole thing was he agreed not to be franchised because he can cash in next year after a year here.
But I'm saying,
how's he going to cash in as a reserve corner?
I'm just saying, maybe Bill, they had that conversation with these guys, and you know they have to know this going in, how the Patriots operate.
I think maybe all those guys lie to me, but I've heard enough of them say it that I started to believe Bill doesn't promise anything in the preseason, that he doesn't say anything. He says, we like your talents, we'll bring you aboard, and we'll go to training camp.
That's what I'm saying. They have that. They know that going in.
But that's my
point.
There's
nothing guaranteed
every
week.
Lee Bodden thinks he's a starting cornerback, right up until the point he wasn't a starting cornerback.
But yeah, I'm saying he knows
he
going
also,
in that that, that could change at any time.
Yeah, we all know. Tom Brady knows that, right? It could change at any time. You think Tom Brady would be stunned if he didn't start? Yes. No jobs are given here.
Lee Bodden,
I know.
Those two is not really.
But okay, you think Adalys Thomas thought he was a starter?
Yes.
He wasn't even active.
I know that, yeah. But that's different than Lee Bodden, I think.
I don't think it's much different
really
than Lee Bodden.
Different.
And I also think that Lee Bodden probably feels that he's played well.
Right.
It's not like Fernando Bryant, who couldn't tackle anybody last year in the preseason, even though he was a starter from day one and then was a shocking cut before the season. Lee Bodden has played, for the most part, well. And I think he probably feels like he's doing what he's been told to do.
And he's
got to
get paid. That's the major difference. Adalys Thomas has his $35 million. Lee Bodden thought, I won't get franchised. I'll go start 16 games for the Patriots, be on a good team, and next year I'll sign a $20 million bonus.
Maybe
you think
up,
he's getting $20 million if it says five starts and then the rest of the year says reserve role?
And maybe end up with five picks
right
when the season's over, you know, on a team that's going to go 13-3-ish.
And don't think money doesn't creep into these players' minds and affect their emotions and their reactions to maneuvers.
And you do
if
have
anything,
to worry
it starts
about how
there
he reacts to that. You have to worry about how AD reacts to it because it could go bad.
But let's just say they wanted to get Butler some starting experience.
But if you think he's going to react badly, it doesn't stop you from making the move.
No, it doesn't.
It also doesn't stop you if you've been considering the move for 8 months
right
or something. I mean, if we've been arguing about him not making the right plays, there's a chance Bill and his Matt Patricia have been discussing this. And, you know, maybe they dealt with this issue a long time ago and said, nothing's changed. We got to do something. We got to shake it up.
Right?
Yeah, don't confuse, you know, worrying about how those guys are going to react to saying that we think Bill made a mistake. If Bill thinks that he can get more out of other guys, he doesn't have to. He can't worry about how the other guys are going to react.
Right.
How about Matt Cassel when those guys were on a plane and Bill told him to turn around because he apparently was worried about how Matt Cassel mentally would handle the challenge. He wanted Matt Cassel, he's our guy moving forward.
Oh, you mean the guys that were having
Sims and
Tim Rattay.
Yeah.
There's a mental
Absolutely.
Awareness of how your players are going to react to everything.
And I think Bill probably has as much a feel for that as anybody.
Yeah. Brad writes in, he's from Maryland, not really sure any good storylines can truly be made from Sunday's game other than that a great team is supposed to beat up on a bad team. I was ticked that the game was switched to the Jets disaster, especially after James Brown hailed it as a more competitive game. I was pleased to see Maroney have the game that he did. How were we to know he is a mutter runner? Should we pray for 3 inches of rain in London? If the Titans' defense had actually attempted to play, we may have seen more fighting in the trenches, but the O-line played well, especially Vollmer. My question this week is, who decided that the Pats versus the Bucks would be a great game to send to London? Bucks had no coach, no quarterback, and no wide receiver at the end of last year when the schedule was made up. And the league chooses this as the marquee game. Do you think CBS will cut this game at halftime if it is another blowout?
I don't think it's chosen as a marquee game. I think there's a lot of other stuff that just comes into it.
Right. I think
teams willing to do it. Teams willing to get up a home game.
Right.
Owners with an awareness and interest abroad. I mean, Malcolm Glazier owns the – who does he own?
Manchester United.
Manchester United. I think there's a ton of stuff. What?
Might have heard of him.
Some people haven't. There's a lot of stuff involved here. I don't think they just say, that's a great game. We'll put it over there. In fact, I'm not sure they want to at this point award them with Patriots-Colts in London. That's an American game. It's an American rivalry. I think that would in some ways be biting off your nose to spite your face.
Well, they're talking about putting the Super Bowl over there.
Talk.
I'm just saying.
And at some point, maybe they'll have a great game there. But I think if you had put Patriots at Colts in London, I'm not sure a lot of people would have felt great about that. You're taking greatness from American soil to put it on foreign. Yeah. Just like people are saying, Why would the Super Bowl be in London? It's America's game.
I think they do try to pick AFC versus NFC, so there's not a lot of...
Yeah, there's been Giants, Dolphins, Saints, Chargers, and now Patriots, Bucks.
I think there's a lot more to do behind the scenes in terms of ownership, business, and a willingness to do it as much as anything.
And there has to be some draw. So, you know, the Patriots are obviously a very popular team over there. There's a draw for that game just for that reason alone.
And maybe all the Manchester United people will come and wear a Bucks shirt because they love... Do they love him again?
The opposite.
Well, they hated him initially, but I think they've come around a little bit.
Yeah, they have come around a little bit.
And let's face it, too, regardless of whatever the matchup is, it's going to sell out over there. The other games have done very well over there. And they had a similar kind of matchup, was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago was Giants,
Giants
Miami.
And Dolphins.
Yeah.
The Dolphins were winless, and the Giants were pretty good, not as good as we didn't know they were as good as they ended up being at the time, but ended up being a low-scoring game in an ugly game, but it was very competitive.
Who went last year?
San Diego and New Orleans.
Yeah.
Okay. Sooner or later, they won't sell out, though, possibly, though. That's one problem.
There's always a chance they
sell out. I think these gimmicks are more popular in the beginning, and then when everybody realizes they happen every year, you lose the urgency. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time they probably said, if I want to see an NFL game, I got to go see it. Well,
some people are saying it's a build-up to them having their own team.
And that's a possibility. It's a terrible idea, but
what would they be in the AFC East?
what AFC International?
Yeah.
Or NFC East?
Yeah. Matt from Quincy writes in. Haven't heard from him in a while. You guys were talking about D'Angelo Hall not tackling last night. They were showing Quentin Jammer avoiding contact so much that it looked like he was throwing the game. Don't these guys ever take a second to realize that it will be there for all their teammates and coaches to see when they watch the tape of the game the next day? Maybe it's that they realize their coaches, in this case Jim Zorn and North Turner, are powerless to do anything about it.
Or they just don't care. I mean, it's kind of like when Rosie Colvin told me he'd rather have a sack for no gain any day than a 35-yard tackle for a loss on a running back.
Right. It was
There's a mentality there of what these players put importance in. It's picks, it's coverage, it's manning up against Randy Moss. It's not necessarily tackling Lawrence Maroney.
I mean, it's kind of, you know, it was funny when Deion Sanders played. And, you know, he didn't want to tackle. You'd see him at the edge of the pile just making sure he wasn't going to get. But he was so good at his position, it was okay. It's like the shortstop who's just a great defender but bats 220. You're going to overlook the not hitting. But these guys aren't that good. You have to contribute in the running game.
Don't tell them that, though. I think they think they're that good. Yeah, that's the problem.
It's unbelievable. Did you like my baseball analogy, Paul?
I did. Did you happen to see what Joe Girardi did in that game last night, by the way?
No, yes. I forgot they were even playing.
What a terrible, terrible. He had a guy in the 11th inning. I think it was Dave Robertson. Got the first two guys out, righty, and went out and took him out. And brought in another righty. It wasn't like he was playing matchups. And the guy came in and immediately gave up a single and a double to lose the game. Two outs, no one on. He comes in and gives up hits to the first two guys he faces. That's just overmanaging.
They also, did you see Posada's home run?
Yeah.
Right before that, they threw out the guy who was on first trying to steal second. I know you're trying to advance the runner to get him in scoring position, but if you just hold tight there. I mean, it wasn't like it was the bottom of the ninth. It was earlier in the game. They could have just left him there. He hits the home run. They're up 5-4. They win the game.
Who got thrown out stealing? Do you know?
I don't remember.
53
maybe?
To me.
Who's 53? Is that
Melky Cabrera?
Might have been.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
He's a stolen base.
I can't remember.
So, I mean, as long as it was a guy who runs normally, I have no problem with that. He's probably running on his own. But, yeah, just a really, really bad decision to make a move.
Hey,
great game though. Another two more great games yesterday in the
I do want to tell everybody some programming.
Did Dodgers win?
No, they lost with two outs in the ninth.
Oh.
Programming notes. We most likely or will not have a show on Thursday.
Yeah, too busy.
The itinerary came out and I mean,
what are you doing over there?
Getting Andy, stop it. Andy's passing gas.
Oh. Well, I think everybody could hear it anyway.
Open.
That was Fred.
No. We're going to be stuck on a bus for most of the day. we're not going to be able to do the show.
That's unfortunate. So we've got picks tomorrow.
But we'll have the show tomorrow.
Picks tomorrow.
And there will be programming on Thursday. What do you got, Doc?
We'll have Patriots Friday on a Thursday from 10 to 2.
So Dale Arnold and Michael Holly will be in studio.
on Thursday.
And how are they having players?
Players will be coming in as they normally do before they board the bus. And before
they don't have to get on the bus as early as we do.
They have practice.
I think the practice is early.
The practice is while we're on the bus.
So then why can't we leave earlier? I don't understand all
or
this.
Or later.
Why do you ask questions?
That's just
arrogance. Do as you're told. Get on the bus when they tell you to get on the bus.
We're getting
that's
it.
What the old Fred used to tell me. Just do what you're told. They send you an itinerary.
You have to be so arrogant
about
this.
What you do. Why are you asking questions? Do what you're told.
Because we got work to do. I'm trying to get some work
done. I just
do
what I'm told, Fred. I keep my head down and do my job.
You know? So anyway.
And then after Patriots Friday, we'll have Patriots Playbook from 4 to 5 and the Fantasy Lowdown, which will be a taped show. We're going to record that on tomorrow afternoon, so if you have emails, send those in advance, and Bela will do his fantasy show from 4 to 5 on Thursday.
That's a good programming note, Doc.
What will you have on Friday?
Send in
best
some
of the week.
Questions for Bela. That's a good programming note right there. Bela's Fantasy Lowdown, because it won't be live. They're used to that at 4 to 5.
That's right.
That's been generating
they're
quite
used
a buzz.
To not sending those emails
no,
between 4 and 5.
That's not correct. That show has been generating a little
Fred
bit of a buzz.
Fred sends emails to that show, too?
See, again, the arrogance, Fred. Yeah. Why is everybody so arrogant in this organization?
I learned it from watching you.
Hey, what do you think about... No, never mind. We'll talk about it later.
What do you think about the fight between the Broncos and Chargers last night that looks like a Vince McMahon production? You had guys pushing, Sean Merriman breaking it up.
Yeah.
You had like ball boys in the background with big smiles on their faces. I thought it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It was no way real. It was not Greg Lloyd so trying to kill... I mean, not Greg Lloyd, guy on the
Kevin Green?
No, I don't know.
Let's see. This
Joey
is,
Porter?
Yeah.
No Joey and no Greg, but Joey Porter.
Greg Rosenthal. Where's he from?
I think Alabama.
That's Pro Football Talk.
Oh, is he? Okay. He says the roster was without pass rusher extraordinaire Tully Bantakane for 20 hours, less than a day after releasing the sometime starter in a surprise move. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that Bantakane is back on the fold. Contract terms are not yet available, and it's unclear why the Patriots had to release Bantakane in the first place. One irresponsibly speculative theory on my part is that they wanted to sign him to an extension and couldn't rework his previous deal because it was signed in February and 1 year must pass before adjusting a signed contract. Someone will let me know if this theory is wrong, I'm sure. Okay, so he's not saying he's wrong. He's just
But he's posing the idea he could be wrong.
Right.
But that's what we posed as the possibility, and again, we don't know.
I thought there was a difference between signing a deal and renegotiating it.
That seems to be, like, I'm with Andy on this one. If you have a rule that says you can't, you know, negotiate twice in a calendar year, that seems to me to be an awfully convenient loophole for that. Well, I won't sign it twice. I'll just release it for 20 hours.
But on the agent's part, they put that in there so that the guy is for a period a free agent and someone could give him an offer.
Right, could get a better deal somewhere else.
Right.
I don't see the team doing that without assurances that that's not going to happen. Like if Bill thought there
Isn't
was even
collusion?
A one. Even if Bill thought,
yeah, but,
no.
But in this case, Paul,
everybody
in, but,
saying
no, but
they
see
won't
what
sign
you're saying.
Him.
I agree with what you're saying.
I think if Bill thought there was a 1% chance he could lose Tully Bantakane, he doesn't do that.
But there are cases, Paul, and this isn't one of them.
Agent
there are cases where the team has their hands tied. They have to make a move. So they pick a guy and say, you're going to renegotiate your contract. That's
totally different.
No, I know, but
that's not a loophole.
No, but listen to me. You're not letting me finish, okay? There is a case where they might have to do it, and they say they pick a guy, and it could be telling, we need to renegotiate contract. I don't want to renegotiate contract.
Okay.
Well, we're going to do it. Well, you got to release me in order to do it. Now I'm a free agent.
Okay.
You know, so that's why that rule is in there.
No, that's fine, but that's a whole different scenario than this.
But I'm telling you.
I'm talking about guys wanting to renegotiate twice in the calendar year, but you're not allowed to, and you have this very convenient loophole with which to do it. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, the reason why is it's against the team. It's so the teams can't just start renegotiating guys' contracts over and over again so without letting them become a free agent and have a chance to go elsewhere. That's why the rule's there. In this case, it doesn't necessarily apply because you had two willing partners.
Right.
But in cases of renegotiation, it's not always necessarily willing partners.
I understand why the rule is there.
Right.
I don't understand why the loophole is so easily jumped through.
Well, it's only easily jumped through if the guy agrees to not listen to other teams making him an offer.
Exactly.
Right. So it's not an easy loophole.
That point.
It's not
exactly and right.
So, no, it's not a loophole. It's not like Tully Bantakane didn't become a free agent. He did, but he was a willing partner, so the Patriots didn't have to worry about another team scooping him up.
Some guy, Chargers guy, Walt Daniels,
died before the game.
A Chargers worker, he fell.
Oh, yeah, he fell out of a catwalk by the PR level. They couldn't get into the PR press box. All the writers were held out for a while, and then he's like a longtime PR.
That's a sign that things are going bad. I'm sorry, but that things don't happen to teams that are on rolls like that, you know? That kind of bad luck.
How do you turn it into football?
And how do you make such a seemingly ignorant statement?
No, it just happens. You know, when things are going bad, they go really bad. You know.
But I mean, where are you basing that in anything?
It's just the way things work. Karma.
Dick Rabine died here, and they won the Super Bowl.
That happened early in the season.
Now, the timing of a tragedy is relevant to your success and karma.
Out of respect to this gentleman, Walt Daniels, is that his name?
Yeah.
I have no comment.
Unbelievable where you would take these things.
Next topic.
Let's see. Going to London.
So UConn falling apart. Sorry.
I had a million of them in my head, but again, out of respect, I'm going to let it go.
Going to London. Let's see. Who is this person?
I don't know.
Chris Gokong.
I don't know.
Or Barry Enzian.
Frazier, I think. I know he
doesn't.
Walt? Frazier.
Walt?
A couple
Seattle?
Points in the game this year in London. Game
Walt
sold
Frazier?
Out in 6 minutes.
Oh.
There's a massive football base all over Europe. We'll be at every game we can be. For Pats fans like myself who only get to go to a game in New England every couple of years, it's a godsend. And the Manchester United fans haven't come round to the Glazers yet. Oh. You'll see more protesters than you see fans by a long shot. Looking forward to maybe buying you guys a pint on Saturday night at the Sports Cafe for the UK Patriots event. We'll be there.
A warm pint.
Told you one of my Northeastern guys, Freddie,
yeah.
in the UK fan club.
He's going.
He'll meet us. He'll be
two-time
at the party.
Two-time loser,
nice.
Huh?
He'll be at the party. That's
Bert.
Nice. See, the man of the people once
yeah.
again.
Right. All right.
Northeastern.
No, two-time
you
loser.
Said two-time.
So,
just kidding.
Therefore, if you need to explain to you, Andy thinks if you root for Northeastern and are in the UK Patriots fan club, either
well,
you're a loser.
Actually, by definition, if
UK,
you went to Northeastern and graduated, you're a two-time
loser.
You got accepted and you graduated.
No, but Andy's,
at least Paul's
Andy's
not
point,
in that category because he didn't go
point
there.
Is if you're in the UK.
Did you not get accepted? Is
UK fan
go?
Club. By, oh, I got a call from BU last night, by the way, looking
they,
for money.
They want you to, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And I'm sure
did you hang
would.
Up?
I didn't give him any.
Did you give him a hard time, too?
No, not okay. at all. It's just some poor schlub like I had to do it when I was in school.
Just make up a credit card number.
Now,
sure. 477-3281.
I'm not prepared to do that at this time.
Burgo from Lakenheath, another London calling. I was hoping to see you guys in London. I listen to you weekly. Love the show. I'm currently stationed in England with the Air Force in your show. This is the only way I get my update on Patriots info. I scour the internet for tickets to see you guys in the sports bar, but wasn't able to find them until after they were sold out. What can I do to see you guys? Well,
StubHub,
the party Saturday night, the private portion ends at 10, and then it's open to the public. We're not leaving right at 10, I assume. So
when is this, Saturday night?
I make
Saturday
no
night.
Promises.
Yeah,
the ticketed part is from 6 to 10.
Past our
oh, yeah.
Time.
So
and
you
the
know,
game's not until 5.
And we're
right?
going to be off.
The next day.
Right,
we're
so it's
go
not
until
5. We have time.
Yeah,
we don't
we're
have to get right
drink.
Home.
So we have this whole place closed off to ourselves on
from 6
from
to 10.
From 6 to 10?
Yeah. So come to the thing. Who knows? You know, if people who have reserved tickets don't show up, we could have some extras. You know, but if you come around 9:30, the doors open at 10 to the public, and you can see Paul will be in his glory by that time.
You slip
maybe
me
I just
science.
To get drunk.
Well,
slip
maybe,
me 20 pounds,
maybe,
I'll get you in.
Can you? They have like regular beer over there. It's just all Guinness and stuff.
They have regular beer.
Is everything heavy?
Actually, Budweiser is big.
You
Budweiser, they have.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, that'll be fine.
Yeah.
They have a website. For that place that we're going to, you can look it up. Maybe.
Oh, they do? The cafe?
Yeah, they do.
The cafe?
I don't know. I think you've got to say it somehow.
Now, speaking of that, Eric.
This won't end well for Eric.
On the last show, I think we made some good breakthroughs with you. I think we were getting
about?
To some
regrets.
No,
you've
some things.
You've had a few.
That I think
oh,
we're
yeah,
working
yeah,
out.
Yeah,
more than
nah,
most.
Nah,
no, going to St. Mark's and not living up to your potential.
Paul's, Fred. St. Paul. St. Mark's is a different school.
Every
is it,
time
is
it gets
similar
interesting,
in status?
He pulls the plug.
Yeah, I mean,
be a terrible
you know,
reality
second
show.
Tier, but yeah. Second tier.
Do they play
but,
each other in sports?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So
they're in the NEPSAC.
What is it?
NEPSAC.
NEPSAC?
New England Prep School.
I got to my NEPSAC.
What are they? Forget it.
Yeah.
So
not NESCAC.
But I think yeah, right.
It doesn't have the word sack in it. It's NESCAC.
Is there
it's kind of close to the other word, but
is that prep school athletic conference?
New England Prep School Athletic Conference.
So was there any other thing that you wanted to? Because
no, I said more than I should have.
You felt that by going to St. Pete's that.
See, now he's just doing it to be an idiot.
That you really didn't get out of it what you could have.
Pete's Wicked Ale. I don't feel like talking about it.
And you ended up going to the same school that Paul Perillo went to.
He apparently has lost his hearing, too.
And two genders.
And that really has bothered him for a long time.
Yeah.
Right. Especially how little I think of the school, too. Right. Like, I think little of it.
Look how self-centered. He thinks it's all about him.
Now,
it has nothing to do with you.
It's just I'm actually making fun of myself.
I know. I'm just
because I know that you think some ignorant schlub such as myself
again,
should not possibly be on the same intellectual level as you.
Now, when you went to BU, did you go to the College of Basic Studies?
You didn't, did you?
How many times have I had to tell you that?
Yeah, but everybody, if you went to the CBS, you start there.
You don't
end
there.
And then you go after your sophomore year, you go to another school.
God, no.
You may have gone to SMG after that.
No.
And, of course, like everybody else who starts in the College of Basic Studies, you don't say that. You say you went to SMG.
No, what is Paul. SMG?
School of Management. Sex, Money, and Greed.
No, I was in School of Management for four regrettable years.
Regrettable?
Yes.
So you didn't like BU?
No, I hated BU from the day I got there.
Why? What was wrong with it?
It was never the first choice. It was a horrible school.
What was your first choice?
Brown.
They didn't get in.
They didn't let him kick.
No. That was the other problem, too.
But wait a minute. BU is a good school. Let's get that out
there.
BU
is a good school, Fred. It is a good school.
It's one of the finest private
schools. It's a
fine
school.
It is a good school. Howard Stern went to BU.
Going to be a fine sale.
That's not selling the
They had a president who would give his left arm.
Oh, Fred, that is so over the line even for
Fred.
You.
Oh, Fred.
What?
I don't get it, but it's somebody with no left arm? John Silber was the president of the school, and he didn't have an arm.
Way over the line even for you.
He ran for governor against Bill Weld.
Probably would have won.
Well, that's all the BU students were on his side because they wanted him to get the hell out of the school.
That was the big joke.
So I didn't know that
so controversial
you didn't like that. Both your prep school and your college.
Or
your
first
about? No, I love
jobs.
St. Paul's. What are you talking about?
Well, why didn't you try hard there?
He didn't take advantage
Fred,
of
Fred, I told you I don't want to talk
in the
about
closet. But not that closet either.
Could there be a worse reality show than the Eric Scalavino show?
If you love the
Every time it gets interesting, he pulls the plug.
Well, no, if you love the school, why didn't you put any effort into it?
Every time you guys ask me these things, you never want to hear the real story. All you want to do is make fun of what's going on.
I'm not asking.
Because you're right. I don't
know
care.
That. You don't care.
I'm trying to get to the real story. You went to this fine, prestigious school and didn't try.
I did.
Thought he went to BU.
No, that's not.
Fine school, Andy. Fine school.
By the way, Eric's wearing a fine burgundy crew neck cashmere sweater.
It's a V-neck, and
V-neck.
Yes, it is a cashmere sweater.
Apparently, Fred doesn't know the difference between crew neck and V-neck.
Of a V-neck is.
And I'll be honest, I think Jackson could get what a V-neck
that's,
is.
That's not really all that hard to determine.
It's again my problem.
No, Fred, I had
lack of brain.
I had a little bit of a medical issue when I got to the school that I didn't know about for several years, and I didn't speak up about. No, I was constantly fatigued. I was overly fatigued.
Epstein's-Barr virus?
All the time. No, it was a
what's that thing that Rocco Baldelli has?
Oh, no. It wasn't like that. It was
plantar fasciitis.
No, it was something really simple and stupid.
You didn't eat well.
Again.
Yeah, iron deficiency?
Doc, we don't need that crap.
Was it an iron?
We really don't need that. If you're going to ask me a serious question, you're going to get a serious answer. I don't need that kind of nonsense.
Doc, I'm making headway here. Okay. Was it an iron deficiency?
Yes, that's exactly
what
it was.
Yes.
And I didn't speak up about it because I just thought, oh, I'm staying up late. I'm studying hard.
Right.
I'm doing sport. I ignored it, but I was constantly, like, overwhelmingly fatigued.
Right.
And my whole lifestyle suffered because of it. And I didn't speak up about it until the end of my senior year there. I finally just got so bad. And I went to the doctor and they were like, oh, it's a very simple thing. You have an iron deficiency. You need to take, supplements to do it. As soon as I started doing that, completely changed everything.
So they have that commercial now where everybody asks questions at other places. But when you go to your doctor, no one asks questions.
Right. And I didn't speak up about it.
Listen to you.
I just thought, well, it's, I'm a kid. I'm staying up late studying. I'm in athletics. I'm doing a bunch of things.
Right.
It's normal. But it ruined my entire, what could have been a lot better situation for me if I had just spoken up earlier about it.
So that explains those 4 years. What happened at BU that you hated it?
He got mono.
No, I didn't get mono. No, I went to BU with the intent of
transferring
after 1 year. And then
when I made those intentions,
kind of like me coming to PFW.
When I made those intentions clear, I was hearing it from all over the place that BU's a great school. What are you doing?
School.
You're in the School of Management. It's a great business school. Stay there.
School.
And I bought into that, and I ended up not really learning anything at the BU School of Business. I didn't like the football team. I didn't get along with anybody there. I wanted to go where I should have gone, and I didn't listen to my heart, and I had a horrible experience there.
Okay. Now that I can totally believe.
All right. But isn't college what you put into it?
Yes,
I thought it was what you take out of it.
See, my experience at BU would be pretty much the exact opposite of Eric's, even though I similarly
But you still
make
don't get
it.
Along with anyone.
I love a million people.
See, he wants to leave a vague reference, and he wants me to get in trouble. You're a bad guy.
I have so many lifelong friends that I met at BU, and I had great interactions
Tommy
with a lot of my teachers in the college.
Yeah, the picture of you and your lifelong friends is on PFW in Progress, right? Drunk? Aren't all those beers at a BU function on PFW in Progress?
Oh, yeah. Didn't you have relations
with
a mascot
Brian's at
there?
That thing. That is accurate.
Yes. Now, Eric, had you had relations with the BU Terriers,
no,
it would have changed things.
No, but here's
the actual dog.
Here's the thing.
Is there an actual dog? Excuse me. Because I'd give them a lot of credit if they had a real dog.
I think they have had one in the past, but I don't think they have one now.
They don't have, like,
the Huskies
Terrier 7?
I don't think the Huskies have a current Husky either.
See,
but they have had them in the past. King Husky the 4th, I think, was the last one.
You got to have those.
And now, I know you're going to make fun of me for this.
Probably.
But I'll tell you anyway, because Fred apparently wants to know this. A little bit of my arrogance got in the way when it came to choosing a college. Because
I'm stunned.
Throughout my junior year there, I started getting recruited by Brown to play football there. They wanted me to be the kicker. And so from meeting with them and getting recruited and being from Rhode Island and meeting with their admissions people, they told me, you're pretty much a shoe-in to get into the school because of those following factors. You have decent grades, you're an athlete, you're from Rhode Island, and you hardly ever get that combination. So pretty much, if this is your first choice, you have a pretty damn good chance of getting into the school. So I basically didn't apply to any other schools except from, you know, the two safeties that I wanted just to have on there, because everyone's supposed to have a safety school. And
see,
I didn't apply.
See what he just did to me there?
Right.
Even though I have to admit it was my safety school too.
So I didn't really put the effort into looking into colleges because I figured I was a shoo-in at my first choice, so why bother? Mm. And then it turns out the football coaches got fired at the end of my senior year, and the new coaches they brought in, Mickey Kwiatkowski.
New football.
From Hofstra. And didn't know me from Adam. And I said, well, that's all right. I'll just still go there. And, you know.
Okay. No, that's good. I'm bored now. All right, let's get back to the football.
That's your fault.
I do.
Because
it is my
going
fault.
Away.
It is my
Paul,
fault.
And you brought it back.
It's my fault.
And you know it doesn't end well.
No,
yes.
It doesn't. You're right.
You need to learn.
You're right.
Let me stick with
now
me.
You're
I'm only kidding.
Now you're taking life lessons
no,
from the
no,
man
it's,
of the people.
It's good stuff.
That's right.
I have similar stories.
Do you really?
Yeah, but I want to get back to football.
Oh, good.
There's one story I'd like you to tell on the air. Remember that one you told us that day off the air?
Oh, believe me. Half
if you knew, I'm the coolest guy ever.
Eric, if you had my past, you'd be cool.
You'd change your name, too.
If you had his past, you'd probably have his present. You'd be rich and everything that he is
and
now,
fat.
Too.
Wow. Good, Eric. Good.
It's true.
Good.
That was very well done.
Look at him. He's all
you
mad
wouldn't
at
know
me
the, what Wait, kind of I'm sweater you have you on
what,
right
I'm
now.
I'm not mad.
You know what's funny is Eric is kind of feeling bad about himself now. Like, I didn't mean it like that. I lashed out.
I know.
That's on Eric.
We call him fat 10 times a show. It's not that bad. He's used to it.
I'm not even mad.
Wait till you see him on TV in that Stop and Shop commercial. I'm waiting
I
for those
can't
10
wait for
pounds
that to
be
come
added.
Out,
when is that making
November?
Sense?
November.
But I haven't seen the other one in all months, so I don't know when they show these commercials.
I saw it during...
Not during the programming that I watch.
Flash Forward is what I was watching last week, new show that's terrible.
Mike Reese is saying, according to strippers, but it's according to Mike Reese, who strippers is quoting here, Banta Kane was playing...
Who's saying it?
Banta Kane was playing under a one-year $620,000 contract that qualified for the veteran minimum benefit. It is my understanding, and this is Reese saying it, that players under a veteran minimum benefit contract cannot have their contract extended until after the league year. Reading the tea leaves with Banta Kane, it appears both Banta Kane and the Patriots decided they wanted to make this a longer-term relationship and figured why wait until after the season. The only way to make that happen now was to rip up the veteran minimum benefit contract and strike a brand-new longer-term deal, We are currently trying to confirm this information.
So his cap number is going to go up.
As an additional note, the veteran minimum benefit contract is designed to help older players. There was a feeling in some circles in recent years that older players were being squeezed out of the league in favor of cheaper, younger talent on the salary cap. The veteran minimum benefit contract, always for 1 year, makes it easier for teams to keep veterans because of the salary cap charge is less than the salary.
Yeah, so his is going to go up, I would assume. Right?
Because not necessarily. It depends on how you negotiate it. I mean, you're doing a whole new contract. Anything is...
Well, I'm assuming Tully Bandicane is getting his $620,000. I mean, is he really just saying, I'll play for less? Okay. Yeah, less. Sure, less.
Does anything change? Did the fact that this is the one-year veteran thing change anything?
What do you mean? Yeah, he can't sign the extension until after the season. They want him here.
But if he signed anything on March, whatever he signed, would he be able to have signed something without...
If he hadn't qualified for the veteran minimum?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
But my point is, his cap number's going up, not down, kind of flying in the face of our whole little theory about
let's get
on branch.
I still don't understand why there was any urgency to do this.
I don't either.
Well, I don't know why you couldn't do this when the league year starts.
Well, you didn't know he was going to play this well.
Yeah, but...
No,
is it,
I'm saying right now, today, why the Patriots felt the need to get him re-upped.
I mean, people are still emailing in. They want to know what's going on.
Well, we don't know.
Speculation, you know, that you're trying to free up cap space. We don't know. We don't have any information.
That.
Our growing, you know, sentiment, and I don't know if you guys share it with me, is that it's much to do about nothing, unfortunately.
Feels like they kind of cleaned up a bunch of little
loose ends,
irrelevant loose ends.
You know, why
in the last 2 days?
Why this week?
Let's be honest. Galloway was irrelevant. He'd been inactive for 3 weeks.
Right.
This is kind of they're taking care of business before they go to England. I don't know.
Now, earlier we had someone write in that said that Galloway was going to Tampa Bay, but now, according to Pro Football Talk,
Baltimore.
Galloway's going to Kansas City.
Oh.
So,
that's bizarre.
That is, I mean, that makes no sense.
Why?
Well, I mean, wouldn't Scott assume that if Bill can't learn, I mean, if Bill can't teach him and...
But I don't know what the system that Todd Haley runs. I don't know if that's
and
similar to what Galloway has done in the
maybe
past.
Maybe Scott thinks
know.
He can do things with him that Bill
couldn't. And this is from Pro Football Talk. Again, Greg Rosenthal. Joey Galloway wasn't good enough to stick in New England's receiver rotation, but there may be a spot for him in Kansas City. Christopher Price of WEEI in Boston writes on Twitter that Galloway is on his way to Kansas City for a workout. Okay, well, that's all it is then. But that would rule out the Tampa. Somebody said he was going to Tampa Bay, so.
Well, it wouldn't rule it out.
No.
If he has a workout.
Yeah.
It's not binding.
So he's on his way to
Kansas. I don't think there's any real similarity between what Kansas City is running right now and what the Patriots have.
But
so
I don't
think that would preclude him from potentially working out in another system.
I just find it hard to believe that he can't pick up one system and mid-season. I mean, I guess if it was the same exact Tampa, Gruden, whatever he's been running down their system. I don't really know where Todd Haley comes from. Aside from Arizona. Where'd he come from before Arizona? Dallas.
Jets. Dallas, right.
Dallas, but he was also with the Jets, right? Wait a minute. He was under Bill at one point.
With Dallas.
Parcells.
In Dallas.
In the Jets, too.
Really? Wow.
I think he got his start as one of those Brian Daboll, Josh McDaniels guys
with
the Jets. That's his
tie-in
with Belichick, too.
And Scooter.
Yeah.
Chris from Stanford says he wants to take a moment out of your teasing, Eric, to praise him for his radio show with Shalise Manza-Young.
I heard a lot of good stuff about that show.
With a host who seemed full of pertinent info
better
and quick
than John
comments
Rook, I heard.
And sounded completely at ease, he and SMY, guess what? That's what they call her.
Smy.
That's what she calls herself.
Made up an entertaining combo, maybe because she didn't tease him as much. Loving the show.
Well, he finally got to be the man in the house.
Please post any and everything you learn about the huge trade for Peppers and Branch for a third rounder.
Peppers and Branch for a third rounder?
Three-team swap. That's a good one.
So.
Yeah, Haley was Jets, 95 to 2000, Bears, 01 to 03, Cowboys, 04 to 06.
So he would have spent
Cardinals, 07,
a couple of years with Parcells and Belichick, 97, 98, 99.
Yeah.
Zach from Syracuse wants to know if none could be activated off the practice squad.
He certainly could.
I think he could be, yes.
We were dead on, by the way, comparing Galloway and Michael Matthews as the bottom of the roster. Remember we had that debate about him being active, and both guys are gone. They were the bottom of the roster. Well done by PFW yet again.
One of these days we're going to get a source to confirm this stuff.
Carl says, lads...
I doubt it.
Carl says the Wembley gig will be awesome. It would not surprise me if it's about 70-30 in favor of the Patriots, as the Patriots are the most followed team in the UK. So that's interesting.
I don't want to call this guy out, but how does he know that? Like, is that a fact?
I mean, we kind of know that, you know, well, at some point, Dallas was America's team. You kind of just know that.
No, I know, but we had Mark in here last week, and didn't he say you see every jersey known to man if you go out? Every team will be represented.
He's talking about the 70-30 breakdown of fans in London.
It's just kind of a throwing a fact out there. That's
I believe it.
Of course you do. You also think that some guy died in San Diego because the organization is falling apart.
Yeah, because they've lost a couple of games. They're 2-3. That wouldn't have happened if they were 5-0.
Sean from Orlando says, I just one thing to say about Adalys Thomas. I told you so. I told you guys many times in 07 that AD was an overrated player who had ridden the coattails of the other Ravens stars on their defense. I consider myself a knowledgeable NFL fan, and I had never even heard of this guy until 06. So he had a great year in his contract year. Wow, what a coincidence. You guys told me I was crazy and that AD was the impact linebacker they had been waiting for. Well, we are still waiting. I said the same thing about Colvin back in 03. These guys play great when they're about to become free agents. Then they laugh their way to the bank.
First of all, Colvin's different because he had the injury. Second of all, he produced more than Adalys Thomas. Yeah. He had a decent number of sacks in his Patriots career.
Colvin is a far different story.
Injuries caught up to him, and he never lived up to what they thought he was going to be. But sorry I erred with siding with Bill Belichick when he said, I'm finally going to pay somebody, and this is the guy. Yeah. Here's $35 million.
I thought AD was a great signing, but there was always the possibility of him being a product of that Baltimore system. And we laughed at him at the time because he's such a negative guy, but Borges wrote that. He had quotes from Ray Lewis, and he had quotes from at the time Rex Ryan was there and some of those guys. And he had extensive details of all of those guys that left Baltimore, most of which did never lived up. Dwayne Starks was one. Ed Hartwell was one. There was a lot of guys that came and went from Baltimore that never lived up to what they were in Baltimore. Bullware, I think, was one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had some guys that produced a lot while they're on that Ravens defense, but they don't really do it, you know, as much when they leave.
And he also was very versatile there and made plays, but he was not a 15-sack guy like a...
No.
So I don't really know what people expected. He clearly hasn't lived up to expectations. That's the bottom line.
You want to fix AD?
Want to fix him?
Yeah, fix him.
John Rooks here.
Bring in Ray Lewis.
Well, yes.
That would fix him.
Maybe Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs, too.
Might wouldn't hurt.
I'm calling him the Brinks truck bust. That's what I'm referring to him on now.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because, you know, Bill once said that's we backed
I bet Paul, though, wouldn't do that to his face, though.
No, I know
I'm
he would.
I'm scared of him.
First of all, Paul would be looking at his chest.
I'm scared of him.
Andy would be saying it as he's running away from
him. There's about three or four guys in the 10 years that I've been here that have truly made me
that's one guy, yeah.
Nervous.
Ted Washington?
Ted Washington's one. Corey Dillon is one. Willie McGinnis is probably one.
Really, McGinnis?
I thought you got along with Willie.
Yeah. I did get along reasonably well with him, but I always in the back of my mind never knew if he was going to snap.
I never liked him.
John Rooks here.
I didn't really like him.
Hey, John,
with him.
How was the game from your perch?
Nobody threw snowballs, so I'm very grateful.
Window open?
Yes, window open.
Always.
Natural.
That must have been something, though.
Some older gentleman.
That's the kind of that's a dream game for a PA announcer, right?
Bizarre. Just bizarre is all I can say.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in some bizarro world, you know, NFL game where, you know, we kept looking at the calendar and saying, October 18th? Are you sure this isn't December 18th or, you know, middle of January for the playoffs? I just know the way to put it. And plus, adding to that, I have people texting me throughout the game saying, I can't believe it's snowing there. It's not doing anything here at home. And
this
was just 20 miles down the road.
Nothing in Rhode Island.
It was like the snow cloud was perched right over Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got very little up north either.
Bizarre. Just really bizarre.
The hills of North Providence were clear?
Clear. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Just rain.
So, it made it for some good photos. The game, obviously, was a record breaker like nobody ever figured you'd ever get.
Yeah.
I mean.
Freddie, the nod came in a scoreless tie.
Yeah. Now, I heard from a couple emails that they were upset with the early crowd, but the people who stayed were very vocal.
Yes, that's true.
You know?
Very true. I mean, I didn't really expect the crowd to be, you know, a top-notch crowd because of the conditions. It was unexpected.
That's difficult.
People came somewhat unprepared.
Yeah.
You know,
they were dressed for rain, not snow.
They were dressed for rain, not snow. You know, the club seats were practically empty the entire game. You know, so people were inside.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't really shock me that the crowd was not that much of an impact. But late in the game, after the game had been already well decided, I'm talking about
a couple hot
late
toddies.
Second quarter on into the third and fourth when it was already like 31-0. The crowd that was there I thought was really good. That you could tell who the Hardy fans were.
Yeah.
They stayed. They honest to goodness, they stayed. And that, you know, that was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
That was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I'm with John. I got to give a lot of people a pass. That was a tough day to be really loud again.
Yeah, I got to give them a pass.
You had all you could do to kind of keep yourself warm and stay in it.
It was tough. The heat was not on in the booth. So even though the window was open, okay, there was no heat down on the bottom. So it was cold.
Yeah.
It was definitely cold. No question.
Well, John Rook's up with Patriot Playbook. who's on the
and
show
And by the
today?
Way, you're nice and warm and toasty in the TV studio now. So don't be playing the baby cry thing here.
I don't mind the cold.
So that's where you screw up the in-game entertainment from?
Yep.
Yep, that's right.
Who is on your show today, John?
Me, myself, and I think.
That's it, huh?
Think so.
No, you just got a guest.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Correct. Chris Price is going to check in with
Chris
us from WEEI.com.
Well, he just reported, had a little report, so you could talk to him.
Things are developing,
so they might actually develop during
show. Well, that's specifically why we asked for him today, because it's quite possible that he has an update to provide us on, you know, trade matters. So,
all right, so stay tuned with John Rook.
Get into that.
You know, it's probably the most exciting trade deadline day ever in the history of Gillette Stadium. So we're live with John, and he'll be with you, and Doc will be scanning the web for anything that twits or tweets or anything else.
Easy.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.